much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What's up, Everett? What's up, Everett? I'm gonna go walk around and among these. Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here at the Lost. Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Look at this sky. Look at this world. Look at the boys. Look at the girls.
Sneaky dinky doo da morning.
Morning, 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 morning.
The air is fresh, brisk and sweet. Why, I could even smell your feet.
Sneaky dinky doo da morning.
As long as I live.
And now,
if you think that I'm gonna masturbate after this tonight, you're right.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's an all new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning.
What's happening? Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How's Boner?
Boner's great. Boner's in the other room this morning. He has a play date with Pookie.
Pookie?
Boner and Pookie.
Boner is the name of Lisa's dog.
I don't know if Boner will like Pookie. He likes to be the man of the house, but we're going to give it a shot.
Usually Boner loves Pookie, by the way. Or maybe those are words
but
that just sound
alike. But he needs a drink
alike.
Or two.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of pets, here's an interesting story. I guess it's different state to state, city to city, maybe even neighborhood to neighborhood. Who gets to decide what kinds of pets you can have?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Housing developments or something? I don't know.
Remember that story? Was it just last year? That guy with wacko guy with the wild animal park and a bunch of tigers got loose and stuff? And we found out that I think it was maybe Ohio or Indiana, someplace like that. And it was one of many states that had no regulations whatsoever about what kind of animals you could own. I mean, you could go out and buy a lion if you wanted in a lot of places.
Because they took for granted no one was dumb enough to go out and buy a lion.
Right. Well, here's a story that has caused quite a controversy in a Texas town called Spring, Texas. This one is a homeowners association, and I guess they have restrictions in places, too. You know, a lot of people don't like the neighborhoods where there is a homeowners association because they tell you you can't put a flag out or you can't put a statue in your front yard.
Or paint your house a different color.
Exactly, yeah. There was a story recently about somebody trying to build a playhouse for their kids, and that was a violation of the homeowners association. Weren't allowed to have a playhouse, for instance. Well, this is a family, Nick and Jenny Drew. Who just got a kangaroo as a pet.
All right.
6-month-old kangaroo as a pet.
Wait, where is this? In Texas?
Spring, Texas, yes.
You're kidding.
And by the way, you would think Texas anything goes, right?
Yeah, of course.
Texas is, you would think it's pretty much, you know, hands off out there. Anyway, the reason they got the kangaroo, they say, and this is bizarre to me, it's a 6-month-old kangaroo. They got it as a vocational training animal for their 16-year-old daughter, Kayla, who has Down syndrome.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, what's special about, I mean, why a kangaroo? I don't know what the vocational training is going to be, but it seems like a dog could do anything that they're getting this kangaroo to do, right?
Can't hop.
They cannot make good pets.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I think they're dangerous, aren't they?
A 6-month-old kangaroo may be, you know, adorable, but guess what? Like many animals, they don't stay that little.
Yeah. No, and they can kill people with one kick.
Yeah, don't kangaroos grow up to be like 8 feet tall or something?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, and I've never been to Australia, but it seems like occasionally you'll hear, you know, kangaroos get in the mood for sexy time, and you don't want to be anywhere around
them. No, because they'll enjoy sexy time with anyone that's within reach.
Exactly. Kayla became fast friends with a kangaroo whose name is Mike, by the way.
Mike.
But then they received a letter from the Estates of Legends Ranch Homeowners Association saying they must immediately remove the kangaroo from the property. It is not a household pet, nor can it be maintained for any business purposes, and they were ordered to correct the violation immediately. Well, what happened was, in this case, the press and the public got wind of the situation, and the Dreeses were bombarded with support for the family from all over the world.
Really?
And on March 1st, the Homeowners Association reversed its position.
And said, bring them in.
And said, have yourself a kangaroo.
No kidding. And the state of Texas is okay with people having...
It doesn't, you know, there's no mention in this article. I wonder if they're one of those states that they don't regulate.
They know plenty of people have guns. in Texas.
That's just...
anything goes wrong, it's all good.
Well, so how's the Homeowners Association going to feel? I mean, they'll probably feel pretty good about it when Kayla ends up killed, right? Because, hey, we told you.
Right.
I don't know if a kid is killed, if they're going to say we told you.
Well, maybe not.
They're going to want to. I mean, they're not going to pick up the phone and go, ha ha.
But I mean, I don't know this for sure. It sounds to me like the Homeowners Association, their concern isn't that it's a dangerous pet. Their concern is, hey, we don't allow anything but cats and dogs, right?
Well,
they're worried about what the next guy's going to get.
Yeah, I would think it's both. I would think it's not only just that, but it's also there's a next guy's going to get a tiger or whatever, and then now you're running into real trouble.
And it's unsightly to have your kid walking our kangaroo down the street. I mean,
is it?
it makes your neighborhood look less than posh.
I think I'd sort of enjoy it.
What kind of vocational training is she? Learning a job of some sort,
yeah, I don't
right?
know.
Yeah, what are they going to have this kangaroo do? And by the way, is this any fun for the kangaroo? Wouldn't the kangaroo rather be living out in the wilderness somewhere?
I would think so.
I would think like kangaroos do.
Kangaroo's all upset. Where are all my other kangaroos?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I it may
why
be
do
low.
I have to read to this kid? What's happening?
It may be low on the list of what we think of, but at some point I'd like to, you know, consider the animal too. Is it any fun for the animal to be living in these people's house? I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe it is. I don't know. I just think as a parent, you would be a little afraid of an animal that could literally crush your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I ran into only one problem in all my years of all the pets that I've had, which is I made the mistake of inquiring in the city where I was living if it was okay to have a buffalo. And, of course, I had already had a buffalo at that point. And I was told no. I was told buffaloes were wild animals, and I was only living in an area that was zoned for domestic. So I couldn't have a buffalo.
So what, you had donkeys and cows and everything else, but no buffalo?
Those are all domestic. Yeah, no. They considered a buffalo a wild animal, even though this was a buffalo that had been, you know, hand-raised from a baby and was, you know, super, super docile. But I guess they are strong enough that they can cause trouble. But I mean, can't imagine a buffalo could do much more damage than a cow can.
No. So what'd you do?
Whoa. Cows are pretty passive.
Oh, really? You ever seen a bullfight?
Well, no, but I mean,
yeah,
in general,
or running with
not?
The bulls, or I mean, they can weigh 2,000 pounds and charge anything just like a buffalo can.
Were you keeping bulls or cows?
Well, I had a cow. I mean, he was neutered, but I'm saying you could have a bull. You could have a bull, but you couldn't have a buffalo. I'm saying it's odd that one would be domestic and one would be wild, is what I'm saying, because I think they can do about the same amount of damage.
Do you remember a story on This American Life? I'm sure you do, Bean, because I think they did it on their TV show too, about the buffalo that a family raised and it lived in their house.
Oh, yeah. Inside?
Yes.
Yes.
It
yes.
was like
wow.
a dog.
Did it sit on the couch next to you?
Literally, it sat on the couch next to you, yes.
No way!
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It would lick you to kiss you, and you need to go towel off.
Can you imagine?
And they took that buffalo everywhere with them, threw in the back of the pickup truck, and they went out and you took them to the park. And everything.
It
was just crazy.
You want to go to McDonald's? Yeah, let's get the buffalo.
Anyway, so good times. Happy kangarooing there, Kayla.
Wow. How about that? I need to get a kangaroo.
That'd be cool.
Don't you think?
I'd come to your house.
That'd be awesome. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I mean, I guess.
Thank you. We have Sean Hattasey from Southland on the program today.
Awesome.
Love that show so much.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the fear of flying and how you got over it. I have a friend who's nutty, crazy, can't stand being on a plane, like panic attack type stuff.
Oh, it's terrible.
And, not fun. But
there are people who will never fly because they're afraid of it.
Yeah, and I have a friend
who won't fly.
The guy that emailed us said that he just took a job where he has to go like 10, 12 times a year, mm-hmm. and he's scared to death of flying. So what do you do? The answer, vodka. Which brings us to our next story. Vodka helps you speak more better. That's the study.
That answers a lot of questions on this show.
That's the study. If I'm speaking better, I'd be in trouble without vodka. Another beer mug weigh-in. It's week three?
Yeah.
Week three?
Yes.
Of Beer Mug's massive, massive overhaul of the food that he eats and the exercise that he gets.
I don't even recognize
him
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. He turned sideways. I can't find him.
I'm going to suggest, I'm just going to guess now, and we don't have time for everyone's guess, but I'm just going to say he went up a little. I'm going to say he went up, yeah. I'm going to say he gained weight, and I love it. we also have Lana Del Rey, in the studio.
Oh, that's right.
How about that? She's going to be here. She's going to be performing live.
Very cool.
I love her so much.
Bean loves her too much.
I love her just the right amount. I'm afraid.
I'm scared. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but she's going to come in here and Bean's going to creep us out.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be creepy at all. I'm just a fan of hers, and I think she's gotten a raw deal.
Okay.
I'm excited to meet her. That's all.
All right. Don't be too excited. That's what I'm saying.
I love her the right amount.
Try to play it down a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And we have your tickets to the sold-out April Foolishness as well.
So okay.
Keep listening. We'll tell you when to call in to get those. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Next hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because who else would be giving away tickets to our April Foolishness 2012 show? We'll give you a chance to win those coming up in a little while. Of course, it is sold out. Thanks again for that. Is that Ralph Garman I see?
Nope.
Ralph Garman.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Nope.
How you feeling, man?
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
No, I'm not.
Wearing a leather coat.
I'm Brenda Lewis.
He's wearing Morgan's leather coat from Bones. That's what he's wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back,
Ralph. Sorry, I'm trying to get a chair to work.
What's happening over there?
I don't know. We got chair issues.
We have a lot of issues. We have a lot of chairs. None of them work. Not a single one of them work.
It's very disturbing.
All right. Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, Nick Lachey and Vanessa Minnillo are going to have a baby. Ah. Nick announced the news yesterday on Kelly Ripa's show, saying they're about 12 weeks along. No word on the name of the baby, if they're planning that yet, but someone suggested Jessica Simpson Lachey, which I think is hilarious.
That would be funny
because she'd be so pissed. So they probably won't do that. Snooki, speaking of babies, it's not only not so secretly pregnant, but apparently now engaged as well. People magazine says she is sporting an enormous engagement-looking ring. And Gianni, her baby daddy, apparently picked it out himself. So, congratulations!
If they go through with this, won't the universe be off kilter?
Implode.
She got someone to marry her.
I saw something yesterday. I guess it was a tweet. Someone said Snooki's baby is due December 21st, 2012. Well played, Mayans. Well played. So maybe it is the end of the world. We'll have to wait and see. Celebrities coming out of the woodwork to slap down Kirk Cameron. I don't know if you saw his interview with Piers Morgan last week.
Didn't see it. Heard about it.
He's spectacular.
Yeah.
He said on Piers Morgan that he thought homosexuality was not only unnatural, but detrimental and ultimately destructive to the foundations of civilization. So really, it's the gays that's going to bring the world down upon us. Huh. As you can imagine, a lot of people speaking out against Kirk Cameron.
It ain't natural!
None as humorously as Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, who tweeted, "The only unnatural thing about me being gay is that I had a crush on Kirk Cameron until about 24 hours ago."
That's awesome.
And his TV sister Tracy Gold has stepped forward to announce that she's a strong supporter of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. And she believes in equal rights for all. Kirk, of course, has been outspoken in his evangelical Christian beliefs over the years. And if you want a good laugh, see the video of him talking about how a banana is proof that God designed human beings and that evolution is a fake.
Yeah, that was crazy. We've learned there are several topics you could make no progress on. One is there a God? You could argue that forever and make no progress. But
you could argue it a lot better than it's because the banana fits in the human hand perfectly.
He ended it. He said the banana is proof of God.
Look how perfect it fits in the human hand, and it's pointed towards your mouth if you hold it right, indicating that God designed it for you to eat.
So are other things.
I was going to say, you might be defending the gay community there, too, I think, if you play your cards right.
No wonder your behind is bleeding!
All right, that's just quite enough of that, sir. Whitney Houston apparently had an affair with Jermaine Jackson back in the 80s.
What?
Yeah.
We never heard a word?
No, they kept it really on the down low.
It was Jermaine.
So we wouldn't have heard anyway.
So no one cared? No one noticed? But Janet Jackson has come forward and confirmed the fact that, they had an affair in the beginning of Whitney's career. And Jermaine wrote an autobiography, but never mentioned anything about it. Apparently, that was out of his concern to try to keep things private and respect her privacy. So
they recorded a song together, one of the great early Whitney Houston songs. Maybe the first one I ever played on the radio, yeah.
I don't remember. What was it?
It was a duet called If You Say Your Eyes Are Beautiful. That
sounds
terrible.
Would you hold them against me? No, that doesn't sound good.
But I'm going to listen to it again and see if I can hear any, you know, any squeakiness going on.
Any boning in the background?
Yeah.
They probably weren't boning while they were recording. No, just a guess.
You never know.
Could Tim Tebow be the next Bachelor? Oh, did you see Bachelor the Woman Tell All last night?
No.
Oh, so sweet.
Why would I watch that?
It was so sweet. Courtney got her comeuppance. That's all I got to tell you.
It's about time.
She was in tears by the end of the show. Sweet. Anyway, they're talking about who's the next Bachelor going to be. Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's what he says when he's meeting all the girls in the mansion. Chris Harrison told Access Hollywood that he asked the Denver Broncos quarterback if he'd be interested in starring on the reality series, and apparently Tim Tebow was interested. Now, they say probably won't happen because of his previous commitments to football and Jesus. But if it's if they can work out the schedule.
He should spend some time throwing a ball around.
Think so? Spend more time.
Learning how to throw a football.
More time tossing the ball.
And also, it would be kind of a boring Bachelor, wouldn't it, Ralph? Because he wouldn't, like, mack with all the chicks like the Bachelors do, right?
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't want to make out with any of them before he got married.
Usually there's some macking, and he apparently is non-macking.
He'd shake their hands.
That's right. He could. He could thumb wrestle them.
That's good, good television right there.
That's sad news. Songwriter Robert B. Sherman has passed away.
I don't know who that is.
You may not know the name, but he and his brother Richard Sherman were the primary and premier songwriters for Walt Disney back in the day.
Okay.
Together they wrote all the songs for Mary Poppins, The Jungle Book, went off and did on their own, did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, wrote music for the theme parks, including It's a Small World.
Oh.
Well, then he deserves it.
Oh, yeah. Don't play that. That's the
now it's stuck in everyone's head.
That song gets stuck in your head forever. You hear it once. It is the catchiest song ever written, isn't it?
Yeah.
No! No!
Great documentary about the Sherman Brothers, if you're interested in early Disney stuff at all, called The Boys. That's what Disney used to call them. He said, call the boys in. I want to have them write music for Jungle Book or whatever. And they worked together but didn't talk at the end of their working relationship.
Didn't talk.
Would write songs but wouldn't speak.
Meaning
outside of the room.
They were not friends at all?
Not just friends at all, by
wow.
the way.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't they, wasn't it a deal where they got paid like a salary or something? They didn't get royalties or anything like that. Disney just made millions of dollars off of these songs that they wrote, but they were company product?
Yeah, exactly. They were staff members, you know. They were on salary, and they just cranked out classic tunes.
Stop playing
over
that.
And over again. Really, that's the one you picked? Couldn't have picked
their most famous one.
It is, but now I'm going to be singing that all day.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, mother effer.
Yeah, that's not a song people hear 50 million times a day like they do
well,
every
they
time
should.
They go to Disneyland.
They're going to hear it today. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough,
no!
You're always that precocious.
No!
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That was quite a song. You must have been smoking something that day.
Yeah, they were pretty whacked.
Today's, no bueno.
Today's celebrity birthdays. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 66 years old today. Actor-director Rob Reiner turns 65. Tom Arnold is 53. Our buddy D.L. Hughley, friend of the show, is 48. Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights and currently can be seen in American Horror Story is 45 years old. Actress Moira Kelly from One Tree Hill is 44 years old. Shaquille O'Neal celebrates his 40th birthday. Bubba Sparks. Oh, where's Bubba Sparks today?
Where is Bubba Sparks?
I miss Bubba. He's 35 years old. Chris Thompson of Vampire Weekend's 28. And Tyler, the Creator, celebrates his 21st birthday. Wonder if Tim Tebow's going to stop by his house and pay him his just desserts. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Now that's a dude that whips his hair back and forth.
Absolutely.
That is true.
He does that.
Yes.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it's 8 minutes after six.
Dave Grohl's so lucky he hasn't lost his hair like many men his age, by the way, because he makes use of that hair, doesn't he?
He really does.
It'd be kind of embarrassing if he had lost it all at this point. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, Beer Mug's going to do his Tuesday weigh-in like he do. This is going to be, what are we, 3 weeks in to him trying to lose all this weight? He's trying to lose 30 pounds in 3.5 months. And here's an email to get us started on the Kevin and Bean email today. Here's an email from Chrissy, she writes in. She sent this right after Beer Mug weighed in last week, where he was down 0.7 pounds after 2 weeks.
Woo!
Here's what she said. Hey, guys, I started dieting and working out about the same time as Beer Mug did. I've already lost 12 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Well, he really does suck at everything. It makes me feel so much better about myself. Keep it up, and thanks for keeping my mornings funny.
She was doing two things different than Beer Mug was, that's dieting and exercising.
Oh, okay.
Right. Gotcha.
And she's probably 300 pounds.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. You showed her. You showed her. This one, we were talking about proposals. People listen to the podcast sometime. My mom asked my dad to marry her with a knock-knock joke. Remember we were talking about women and asked me?
Yeah.
She said, knock-knock. He replied, who's there? She said, Mary.
He said, Mary.
Mary who? She said, marry me, you fool. They've been married for 37 years.
Well, I mean, how do you knock it then? It sounds like they found the right person.
37
years. They're both corny people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If a knock-knock joke works, you know you're in. And that's a good way because for the most part, people will go, F you, F you, F you, I'm out.
Very funny. Speaking of the podcast, this is from, Carla, listening to the Friday podcast, and I was amused listening to you guys talk about the cell phone gym. Remember we had that story about the guy in Philadelphia who was caught by a television station? He was on the city bus, and whenever somebody would have a loud cell phone conversation on the bus, he would pull out his little jammer, and they wouldn't be able to use their phone anymore. Well, my husband and I have had one for a couple of years now, and we love it. It doesn't always work because it depends on the signal and if there are cell towers nearby. But when it works, it is awesome. We take it with us everywhere we go. Restaurants, movies, shopping. I stash it in my purse and just flick the button when we find a victim. We'll sometimes just follow people around in a store who are talking on their phone, jam them, wait until they make the connection again, then jam them one more time. We just keep doing it until they finally put their phone away. There's something so satisfying when you hear them say, hello, hello, what's wrong with this phone? We don't use it on everybody, just those that are obnoxious, loud, or using the phone in an inappropriate place. Which, by the way, I love the fact that Carla is the one who gets to decide that. We're fully aware that these are illegal and are extremely paranoid when we have it in our possession. We have had no idea how stiff the penalties were till we heard your show, though. None of our friends we know have it, which is also a source of entertainment. We keep it hidden when we're not using it. Thought I'd share. It's exactly as awesome as you think. Kevin, why don't you have one of these yet? You seemed interested in this.
If I had one, I would never tell you.
I want one.
Nor would I tell you. Because all of you would bag on me and you'd turn me into the police.
No. I'd use it for movie theaters. Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying, but I can't do anything with you people telling on me with everything I do.
I give you a pass for that.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, and Ralph, thanks for introducing me to the wonder that is the Jimmy Kimmel Oscar special. I DVD'd it on Sunday and watched it recently. The movie was fantastic. I had one question about it, though. Having never watched the Jimmy Kimmel show before, so this is the first time that Katie has ever watched the show. I'm really not familiar with the feud between he and Matt Damon, although I'm aware that there's some kind of history there. Could you please give me a little background so I can be in on the joke? Anyway, love the show. Podcast listener and Garmy member, Katie. He bumped him about, I don't know, every day for 3 years.
But I think didn't it start originally, it had nothing to do with Matt Damon. He wasn't supposed to be there and really got bumped. Jimmy just started saying, didn't he? Or did he really get bumped the first time?
I don't remember how it happened the first time. All I know is every night he would get to the end of the show and say, sorry to Matt Damon for bumping him. We'll have to reschedule.
And then he had that video, remember, where he hooked up with Ben Affleck just to kind of rub it in Matt Damon's face because they had been best friends. And they just keep
bollying back. Well, Sarah Silverman did her video. Yep. Wasn't it her birthday video?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny feud. It did continue through the Oscar special. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm a few days behind on the podcast, so I'm just listening to the one from last Thursday. You were talking about names that people regret. Well, I work at a school. As far as I know, these parents do not regret the names they choose, but please let me give you a list of some of the doozies. We get emails like this all the time, especially people work in schools with the kids. This is from Kelly. We have three siblings that go to our school named Tybree, Tyabree, and Tybria. We also have a Kiandra, a Kiona, a Charisma. That's K-A-R-I-Z-M-A, by the way.
Sure.
We also have Dayreal, D-A-Y-R-E-A-L. India, spelled E-N-D-E-E-Y-A. Princess, Unique, Jermie. Here's my favorite, Bilquis, B-I-L-Q-U-I-S. Bilquis
is a name. My name.
I could go on, but let me conclude with these final four that really are the best. A boy named Purpose. Purpose. His two sisters are Knowledge and Future.
Oh, no.
You parents.
And finally, and I can't believe I'm going to try to pronounce this, Ms. Audacity. Ms. Audacity. M-Y-Z-A-U-D-A-S-I-T-Y. Ms. Audacity is the name. Thanks for all you do. I listen to your show every day, and I'm training for a marathon, so I listen to the podcast. Don't worry, I'm super slow. Don't hate me or think that I'm bragging. Well, good luck with that, Kelly. Very funny email. Thank you.
Joe writes, Dear Kevin and Bean, so by the looks of your website, Christine has still missed Double December.
What's we up haven't with the, updated the website?
I don't
what?
Know. That's what this email says.
What's no, up with the new one?
True.
Is she some kind of prude?
No.
No, she's not.
As it turns
we
out.
We have underused her. We
didn't have a Valentine's Day event.
Right.
Right. And I don't think we're having a St. Patrick's Day event. And those are the times where we usually, you know, connect with Miss Double D early in the year. But I will tell you, if you're not following her on Twitter, you are missing some awesome booby photos because she's doing the Lord's work on Twitter.
Well,
she
tell
really
her,
is.
How did they follow her?
I believe it's Jolie, J-O-L-E-E 11. Jolie 11, I believe is her Twitter name. You should definitely be following her. And my last one, and I thought this was interesting from Philip. Remember last week we were talking about how Donald Trump put that video out where he was complaining about Sacha Baron Cohen and the stunt that he played on the Oscar red carpet with Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah, the security should have punched him and dropped him to the ground and kicked his ass and all that stuff. He was really ridiculous.
And he was talking about how Ryan Seacrest was a great guy. I know Ryan, and he's a good guy. And then he was talking about how Sacha Baron Cohen is a third-rate comedian. Well,
right.
Philip reminds us, Dear Kevin and Bean, in reference to the Donald Trump-Sacha Baron Cohen thing, Trump is sour because he was duped by Sacha Baron Cohen's back in the Ali G days. In retrospect, Trump surely didn't know about Sacha at that time. Now that Sacha is so famous and everyone knows about him and his characters, he's probably just mad, which I thought was really interesting. So he's probably been carrying a grudge about being involved in the Ali G show all those years ago, and this was an opportunity for him to make fun of him. And Phil sent along a link, and I had not seen this piece in a long time, but here's Sacha Baron Cohen and his old character, his first character, is Ali G with Donald Trump.
What is the most popular thing in the world?
Music.
No.
Tell me.
Ice cream.
Okay.
Everyone has it. And what is the problem with ice cream?
I have no idea.
It drips.
Okay.
So my idea is what?
To make a drip-proof ice cream.
No. Oh, that's a brilliant idea. This. All right, whatever. You ain't going to come out with that, though.
No, I promise you I won't.
Well, my idea is to come out with just like these ice cream gloves that make the ice cream not go on your hands and make it all well sticky. And also keep your hands warm when you is eating the ice cream.
Okay.
Is you win or is you win?
Okay. Well, it sounds like a good idea, and I hope you make a lot of money. Good luck, folks. It's been nice seeing you. You take care of yourself, okay?
Well, is he going to be in on that?
Well, it sounds like an interesting
We've got that P. Diddy is going to be in it.
Good.
He couldn't get out of there fast enough, could he?
He was miserable.
He was miserable from second one. He was miserable. I love Sacha Baron Cohen so much.
I do, too. I can't wait for the day.
Finally, a scientific study that backs me up. How seldom does that happen?
Well, not very often, actually. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Sean Hattasey joins us from Southland coming up next hour. Also, Lana Del Rey is going to be here performing live, too.
Bean's too excited. I got to warn you people.
I'm not too excited. I'm the right amount of excited. Uh-huh. That's all. Tell me about your study and why you're good and we're bad.
Well, according to a recent study, drinking vodka improves word association and verbal creativity. Science News reports when people are intoxicated, not legally drunk, they get them just below the .08, just below that. All and right. then they give them University of Illinois at Chicago, apparently, gives them some kind of test. And the people who were mildly intoxicated responded in 11.5 seconds, while the sober people took about 15.4 seconds.
Really?
Yes.
Some sort of a word association test.
Yes.
And I think the vodka helps them.
Vodka helps that. The headline is, and this is what caught my eye, drinking vodka makes you talk more better.
Sure. Yeah. Now, is the Kevin that we enjoy each morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, is this post-vodka? Is this what you're like with vodka? Or are you suggesting now you need to start drinking vodka?
I need to start drinking vodka.
And then you'll be sharper.
Right. Then I won't have so many moments with.
Okay. Well, we asked producer
Bring
Dave to
line
up.
Bring me some vodka!
Line up somebody to talk to about this survey. And I believe we have the University of Illinois at Chicago on the line right now. Hello there.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. Who's this?
This is Professor Hasselhoff.
Oh, really?
David Hasselhoff?
Oh. Drink a Fantastico.
No, no. You put out the study?
I'm a scientist.
No, you're not.
You're not.
I played a scientist on TV.
I was excited.
I played a doctor.
You did?
I don't think you
Snapper
did.
Snapper Jones.
Oh, really?
I'm not familiar somebody. With that role. I forget.
Yeah. You're the lifeguard in the Piranha 3D movie that's coming out, though.
I sure am.
Yeah.
I'm
excited about that. So you're behind this stuff?
I gave him like half off my usual rate to be in that movie.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah.
The Hoff loves the Hoff.
Yeah. What's the deal with this study? There's nothing to it. It's just you trying to justify your drinking, right?
No, that's not true. We did some research here at the university, and we found out that vodka makes you talk more better.
Okay. How exactly did you figure that out?
Well, I'll let my my research assistant explain that. He did most of the actual trials. Professor okay. Ryder, Professor Ryder, can we talk to you, please? As a minute scientific study for being good talking drink now.
Wait, how is Kevin on the phone in Chicago if Kevin is here in the studio with me?
I'm not going to want to be there pretty time now soon here.
So this is you after the vodka, Professor Ryder?
What did you do?
What kind of studies did you do, Mr. Ryder?
I'm a long-time fan, all the drink time them.
Yeah, right. That definitely sounds like our guy.
I'm able to go... I'm going to go fast drive car late for work. I left my key card. I left my key card. I can't find it.
Come on.
I
don't want to talk to you anymore. Let's talk to Hasselhoff.
I don't want to go talk like this, but I can't help it.
Well, have you had enough vodka? Maybe that's the problem, is you're too sober.
Oh, good idea. I shouldn't have more vodka.
Yes, you should. Mm. Yes, you should.
We got a new music coming up from K-Rock. Hey, it does help me.
It does sound better.
Sound good.
Wow. I'll tell you, that guy's terrific. I couldn't have got through this experiment without him.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
He's a dick.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I said he's a great guy. Oh. I'm going to have a little vodka myself so I can
maybe
do a better
you should. No, no, you David. Maybe.
Now, one of you has to say sober, Hoff. Huh? Come on.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, here we go.
This is a mess.
Yeah.
Alcohol affects you so fast.
I'm all right. I'm okay.
You don't sound good.
Do you talk more better on vodka?
I talk more better when I am vodka.
When you're what?
When I am vodka.
Vodka.
Yeah.
You're vodka, right.
Okay.
And I'm okay.
Dude. All right.
But you always sound sober standing next to that other dude.
I do. Hey, Professor Ryder, come over here.
Oh, we don't need to talk to him
again. Pretty soon now, going to be a long time here. Now go, you far.
We can't even understand what you're saying.
I can't understand what he's saying. And I'm drunk. How does he work with people? This guy is a mess.
Oh, wow, he is a mess. It's getting sad now.
I don't know.
Steady's out of control. All right, Professor Hoff.
All right, it's great talking to you, I guess.
What? I have no idea what you're saying now.
We can't understand you. Put the other guy on.
That guy's a mess.
Tonight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
Band is called Fun here on K-Rock. We got Linkin Park coming up next, and Ralph returns with the Showbiz Beat right now, though. Very excited. Beer Mug, how are you feeling, man?
Scared and nervous.
Beer Mug decided that this was the year, 2012 was the year, that he was finally going to lose some weight. It's been creeping up on him a little bit. And I guess the incentive for you, the reason that you think you'll stick to it this time, is because there's a lot of money on the line, right? Because you got in a bet with Dave and with Kevin, right?
Yeah, only $200.
King of Mexico, $100, me, $100. And he's got to lose 30 pounds by June 1st. Now, this is the third week, the very first weigh-in, it was 226.8. That's what Beer Mug weighed.
Yeah.
Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to see the picture of the day. It's Beer Mug and his wonderful diet. The first week that we weighed him, he had gained weight. He went from 226.8 to 228.6.
Yes.
And that first week, if I recall correctly, was the week that he took it most seriously.
Yes.
And did not break diet at all. I mean, he refused all soda and all alcohol and all sweets, and he still gained weight.
We tried everything. We brought in all of his favorite foods and everything, and he just wouldn't do it. So then he gained weight. And then we weighed him last week, and he lost back down to 226.1, which is 0.7 of a pound down.
Which was something.
So it's right, something.
But you're supposed to be averaging. Like, we're starting week three now.
Correct.
And you now have 10 pounds that you need to lose in the next 2 weeks to stay on track, because it's 10 pounds a month.
Well, that's why I'm a little nervous, because Omar's baby shower was this weekend.
Yes.
And he had a lot of good food there.
Which you can be seen eating.
Yeah. KRock.com front page.
Really?
Yeah.
So I only had 10 tacos and a piece of cake and three beers. But it's okay. I mean.
It is okay.
Beer mug is so fat. Damn, he's so fat. Beer mug is so fat. That boy's got back. Beer mug is so fat. He likes smoking doobies. Beer mug is so fat. He's got mad boobies. Will beer mug lose the weight? I think not. Beer mug's so fat. Fat, fat, fat. So fat. Let's find out how much weight beer mug loves. Beer mug's so fat. Fat, fat, fat. So fat. Fat.
Beer mug.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I don't get. You're very aware, and I'm sure you think about every single day, you think about, I'm serious about this diet, I'm really going to lose weight. When you're at Omar's thing, what's the switch in your head that goes, I'm not going to stop after one plate of tacos, I'm going to go back for seconds, and then thirds, and then fourths, and then I'm going to top it off with cake?
I could answer that.
He's beer mug. He's beer mug.
And the fact that the tacos were just so good.
Were they tiny tacos?
All food is so good, though. Yeah. That's why people get fat, is because food is good. It's a pleasurable thing to eat. It's enjoyable.
Diets don't have excuse. They don't let you go, hey, well, if the food's good enough, I'm going to pig out.
It didn't help that the fact that the taco man was so nice, and I couldn't turn him down. Every time I asked for just two tacos, he's like, hey, why not another one? Hey, why not?
So last week when he went down to 226.1, every show afterwards, I do a post-show interview with Beer Mug, and this is that part of that.
You, my friend, have lost almost 3/4 of a pound.
That's right.
How does that make you feel?
Absolutely fantastic.
Almost 3/4 of a pound in 2 weeks.
That's something. That's progress. That's something I'm doing right.
Do you think you're on par for the 30-pound weight loss goal?
In 3 months?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is exactly where you wanted to be if you could plan it
absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely. I wanted to be at 226.1.
Yeah, that's his... he was very happy with that last week. He was very good. So then I asked him about his exercise regimen.
What about your exercise plan? How's that coming out for
exercise
you?
Exercise plan, I need to pick that up a little bit.
What have you been doing?
I went snowboarding this weekend.
One time?
One time.
Okay.
And played a little two-hand touch football.
From what you said earlier today, threw the football around.
Okay, so just want to make everybody understand, this is a typical beer mug statement. I played two-hand touch football. And then if you just scratch the surface a little bit, he threw the football around. Right. Very different than playing.
I ran, I jumped, I caught.
That's not the same as playing touch football.
Right.
You threw the football around a little.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And
that seems to be working for you?
Well, I haven't gained weight.
Is our goal just not to gain weight? Because that's a fine goal.
It's
if
funny,
it is.
That's not the bet. But all right.
It wasn't this goal.
I'm not feeling good right now. But I did drink a gallon of water yesterday to counteract this fabulous weekend I had. So I don't know. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm not expecting.
Okay,
to
so
go
wait.
Down.
Well, let me just see if I understand your science. So you ate a ton of food over the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you drank a gallon of water yesterday.
Yes.
And you expected that gallon of water
to flush everything out.
Everything gone.
Hopefully.
That's how it works.
Hopefully.
That is how it works, I think.
All right, refresh my memory before he hops on the scale. Where was he last week, 1 week ago today?
226.1.
All right. Let's see how Beer Mug does today. Good luck, Mugs.
226.1.
Hold on. Scale's not there. It's turning on.
Drums are about to run out.
It's flashing. Oh, my gosh.
Can what? You do nothing right?
What
oh
is it?
Oh, my gosh.
What is it?
He's saying, oh, my gosh.
I have remained the same weight.
Exactly the
226.1.
same? 226.1. Wow.
You are well on your way. If you could see how happy he is right now. Because Beer Mug was convinced that he had gained a ton of weight.
Mm-hmm. Is that considered a victory?
Yes.
Is if you stay the same weight?
Yes. After this weekend, you should have seen what I was eating. Of course. I thought I was easily gained 4 pounds.
All right. Well, so 226.1. Yeah. You stayed exactly the same as last week.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, sounds like you can eat all the tacos you want. That's right.
All right, that's we right. need 5 pounds by next Monday.
Lisa.
Next Tuesday.
We don't need help.
Thanks, Lisa.
We don't need help. He's doing fine. He's got a great diet. He's got a great exercise plan.
See, if I'm 226.1 come June 1st, that's not good. But today, I'll live with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because you still have time.
Yeah. A little under 3 months.
In the diet. So in the diet, I just want to clarify. In 1, 2, 3 weeks... 3 weeks of dieting, you're down 0.7.
It's something, Kevin.
Yes, it is. Is it enough that you're not going to end up paying us money? We'll take $75 right now. Dave?
Oh,
$75. Wow. We'll take $75 right now.
That's enticing, considering my rate of weight loss, but no, I'll stick to
You know you're not going to be close by June 1st. $75.
I wanted to mention this. I want to thank everybody for sending me emails and, you know, tweeting me about weight loss.
Okay, whatever.
But...
I'll take $65 right now. Right now, $65 cash. Cash.
No, I'm going to stick.
Somehow I say that like it's a bonus for him.
It's the same cash, $200.
What?
I'm going to get $200 cash. So $65 cash is not enticing me.
All right. Dave? I don't know. I don't understand his logic either.
He means you pay him $65.
Yeah, I'm saying
he's not paying you.
I'm saying I'll take $65.
And I'm saying you're going to pay me $200 cash.
Well, certainly from these results it looks that way.
So Ralph Kramer is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday, and then Officer Bryant joins us after the top of the hour, Ralph.
Sammy's
going to be here from Southland. Actor Sean Hattasey is going to be joining us to talk about that. Did I see correctly last week? There's only 3 episodes left this season?
Yeah.
They run
a short season,
that
sadly.
Hurts so much.
Not acceptable.
Yeah, agreed.
Waited so long, and it's almost
put
over.
Put him back in the lab.
I don't think they make them in labs.
Make some more.
I think it's a soundstage or a studio.
Well, actually. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter. Anyway, Mr. Hattasey will join us. And then Lana Del Rey joins us next hour, our musical guest today on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, time for the Showbiz Beat.
You should have written a strongly worded letter to Fox if you wanted to see Terra Nova stick around.
Oh, yeah.
Fox has announced the cancellation of their prehistoric drama Terra Nova after just one season. Sends months of will they or won't they speculation. 20th Century Fox TV says they fight for Terra Nova's extinction event by shopping the series to other networks. So... you may see it someplace else, but you won't see it on Fox.
Super expensive, right?
Very expensive show. That was the hardest part. Fox struggling a little bit. They got House. That's leaving.
It's going away, right?
Alcatraz has been underperforming.
I like Alcatraz.
So tough times over there at Fox. Mm-hmm.
And even Idol is no longer invincible.
Yeah. Thank God they still have Bones. Thanks to Morgan Donnelly. That show's getting a boost, a shot in the arm. Morgan Donnelly.
I didn't know you had a last name, too, Ralph.
High-powered stand-up comedian Morgan Donnelly will be there.
It's under show.
Saving. I can't stall anymore, Beer Mugs. You're going to have to do something.
It's Morgan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. They were shooting, apparently, a comedy club sequence at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up there at City Walking Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the episode, I play a stand-up comedian who is murdered, and they have to try to find out who killed me. And so for the episode, there's a ton of, like, posters of me and handouts, like, awesome. Flyers with my picture on it and everything. So everybody, all my buddies at the Lovitz who work there, they're sitting around Monday, they're shooting the show on Monday. And they say, oh, yeah, this is the guy who's the victim in the episode. And they all pick up these flyers and it's just my face all over there. So they all went nuts and started tweeting me pictures like, hey, Morgan's dead. It's very funny. Speaking of that, Friday this week is when Hollywood Babylon will be on. Friday night.
Like every week.
No,
Friday.
No, every week. It's Saturday, Kevin, but this week's special, Friday night at the Lovitz at 10 o'clock if you'd like to go.
Ralph likes to move it around and make sure no one can find it.
TheLovitz.com. I don't like to move around, but my partner, Kevin Smith, has a lot of irons in the fire.
He's unreliable, I would go so far as to
He's
say.
He's not unreliable. He just travels an enormous amount and does other things in other places, and we have to accommodate his schedule sometimes.
So Saturday night,
Friday night this week,
usual.
10 p.m. Not like usual.
10 p.m.
It's
Friday
a rare
night.
Exception, Friday at 10 p.m.
Friday at 10.
You can go to TheLovitz.com if you want to pick up some tickets. It's Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD available for your entertainment dollars. Wrecking Ball, the new Bruce Springsteen CD, comes out today. You got to drive all over Bean and try to get it for the cheapest that you can and then sit in your car and drive listening to it?
$9.99 at Best Buy. I'm already set.
That's what Bean does. He drives to the place where it has the lowest price. Even if it's 30 cents, he'll drive another 100 miles to get it.
He went to Texas once. I remember that.
And then he'll just sit in his car and drive around and listen to a new album.
Yeah.
That's the way he does it.
It's
It's my tradition. That's the way I always do it. Me and Bruce.
I haven't heard anything about this CD. I haven't heard any music. I haven't heard any reviews. I don't know anything about it. So
you know,
I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah, you'll like it. I think you'll like it. I mean, I don't think Mr. Springsteen's best work is still ahead of him, but he's still fairly reliable. Yeah.
Start the Revolution Without Me by the Kaiser Chiefs, also available today. Milk Famous by White Rabbits. Milk Famous. Milk Famous.
That's odd.
Once again, Milk Famous. X Lives by Every Time I Die. Those are your CDs. New DVDs. Immortals. Available on 3D Blu-ray. And we didn't get a digital copy thrown in there. And the whole nine yards. That's the one with Henry Cavill. Plays some sort of Greek god guy or something. Footloose. The remake with Juliana Hough. You can check that out. Tooth Fairy 2.
Nope.
Tooth Fairy 2. I didn't realize
that, does not exist.
That the popular film The Tooth Fairy required a sequel, but apparently there was one.
That doesn't
The Rock not involved in this version. Apparently Larry the Cable Guy, star of this sequel to Tooth Fairy.
This didn't come out in the theaters, right? It's just straight to
video? Straight to DVD, yeah.
Wow.
Jack and Jill starring Adam Sandler. You can pick that up today if you've missed it.
Oh, that's great, because Kevin's birthday is in a couple of weeks.
That's right. We can all load up on Jack and Jill. Let's all get him a Jack and Jill DVD.
I didn't even go to that one.
Well, that's why you're going to get him a DVD, so you can enjoy the privacy of your home.
And we want you to have one for your car, your travel suitcase, and one for your home. It'll be great.
And TV shows on DVD, Game of Thrones. If you've missed any of the episodes of that first season, that's available in a box set. You can get the whole first season of Game of Thrones available today. While we're talking about The Rock, he has been tapped, and I think this makes perfect casting sense, to star in the new Brett Ratner-produced and directed version of Hercules.
Sure.
The Rock is Hercules. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
I think so. Also, this is very exciting. Marvel Entertainment has announced they are auctioning off key props from Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor on April the 14th.
Ralph has a giant plastic Thor hammer on his desk.
Yeah, but I can get the real one now. The real Thor hammer is going up for auction. It's going to start bidding around $5,000 for the Thor hammer.
Good luck with that.
Which is a bargain if you look at the Captain America costume and shield. Chris Evans' Captain America costume and shield. Mm-hmm. They're expecting it'll start. The bidding will start around $30,000.
Wow!
For that, how much do you think for an Iron Man suit of armor?
Oh my gosh!
I can't imagine.
Can you fly?
I don't believe that comes with the power of flight. No, there's
$10,000.
They're expecting $75,000 to be the opening bid.
$75,000
for the Iron Man suit of armor. The LA-based auction house Profiles in History will be doing the auction. So if you're like me and you love collecting stuff, April the 14th. Oh, I'd love to have that Captain America shield.
I know you would.
Oh, you could not. Nothing could. You couldn't get anything past me.
Oh, that would drive us crazy. Ralph would walk around with that shield the whole time.
Throw the shield up.
We'd start talking.
All of your insults would go bouncing off of it.
We'd start talking. He wouldn't want to hear it. He'd just hold up the shield.
That's right. Talk to the shield. Because Captain America ain't listening. That's what I'd say. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 66 years old today. Actor, director, writer. What a talent. Rob Reiner, 65 years old today. What a body of work this guy has. Not just This Is Spinal Tap. That was his first feature film. That's how he came out of the gate. But A Few Good Men, When Harry Met Sally, The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Boy, the guy knows what he's doing.
Yep. Did you Stand By Me, too? Is that him?
Stand By Me. 65 years old today. Tom Arnold, 53 years old. D.L. Hughley is 48. Connie Britton of Friday Night Lights, an American Horror Story. First fell in love with her on Spin City. She was a regular in that show with Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Very talented. 45 years old today. Actress Moira Kelly is 44 years old. Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, celebrates his 40th birthday. Rapper Bubba Sparks is 35 years old. Do you really need the three X's in Sparks, Bubba? Did you need all three of them?
Two doesn't work. Two?
One wouldn't have conveyed it. Mm-hmm. And Chris Thompson of Vampire Weekends, 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock.
Wait for it.
Wait, come on.
Come on.
Let the guy do his thing. The
guy's trying to hit a chord and you're talking all over him.
Seriously.
Sorry.
Tell me soon, man.
Tell me when.
Now.
Go.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. Is this the best sound that you've ever heard?
No, it's the creepiest sound.
Love
because
it.
I know bad things are going to happen when I'm sitting down and that comes on.
Love it.
It makes me tense. This song, just hearing it makes me tense because I know unpredictable bad things are going to happen for the next hour on my television.
And
I'm addicted. I can't help.
Are we hearing a flute? What are we hearing at the beginning?
These are string instruments.
Those are strings. But at the beginning, it's fluty.
I don't know.
talking about Southland, which airs Tuesday nights at 10 on TNT, very possibly could be the best show on television. There's very little that we all agree on in this room, but I think we're all with this one, and we couldn't be more excited to welcome Mr. Sean Hattasy to the program. He, of course, is Officer Sammy Bryant. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very well. Great, Sean. You know, your character on the show, I think, and everyone's gone through some tough times, but I think Sammy has just been the most tortured character on that show.
He's had a rough couple of seasons, man. It's been up and down. But hey, look, I just want to say thank you guys for supporting the show as much as you do. We need the support. The ratings are going up, and you know, we owe it to people like you, the people that get behind the show, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we appreciate the compliment, but we don't pick shows that are bad and champion them.
You guys have earned our support by being brilliant week in and week out.
We find a great show like Southland, and we want to talk it up because it's so freaking
good.
It's
selfish. We just want it to be on television as long as possible so we can keep watching it.
Well, thank you, man. Seriously. Yeah, no problem. Sammy's had a rough go of it spoiler alert, with the death of his partner.
Yeah, if you haven't caught up.
I mean, and the fact that his wife was you know, sleeping around with her photography instructor, and she was pregnant, and Sammy didn't know if it was his. I mean, it's been kind of crazy. But now I'm partnered with Ben McKenzie.
And that's going well. And that is disintegrating in front of our eyes.
That's really working out well for you.
That lasted for like 5 episodes. And who knows what's going to happen next. I love doing this show. It's so much fun.
You know what's bizarre about this show, rather than other cop shows, sets it apart, is that you guys point out so vividly how cops can totally be fighting and not getting along. And that scares me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you call the police, you expect they've got everything under control.
You want superheroes.
They're getting along with each other.
Right.
You guys are fighting and arguing. And we saw last week...
Lucy Liu was all cranky and pulling people over for no reason.
For no reason. You go, wow, this happens.
Well, I mean, look, you guys work together all the time. I mean... Yeah.
And we hate each other.
Are there times where you start to hate each other?
A lot.
Most of the time.
It's a pretty small studio. And,
yeah.
So it's the same thing with cops.
But we don't want that from our cops.
You're supposed to be better than us.
They're only human, you know.
I don't want you and your partner arguing when you're rolling up on my stop.
Yeah, right. I was just thinking about, like, when we shoot the show, literally we work with real cops as extras all the time. And for instance, when we're walking out, we're carrying the guns or whatever off to work. If I'm holding a gun wrong, an extra who's a cop will, like, look at me and say, you know, you're not really doing it right.
Love it.
And we embrace that. But I was just thinking about, like, if David Caruso were on the set of CSI Miami, and he was out, like, you know, doing his thing, and one of the exes told him to do something, he would never work again.
You know what he would do? He would just lower his sunglasses and look at him.
Yeah.
And then the Who would start playing.
Hey, Sean, I wanted to ask you this. It seems like more than almost any other show on television, you guys are on location in the streets. Do you get permission and cordon off all those areas, or do you just show up and guerrilla film it on an intersection where it only is going to take a few minutes?
Well,
officially,
we generally get permits and permissions, but sometimes we have to, like, improvise and come up with something.
I mean, I see so many people walking by on the street and so many cars driving by. I mean, it looks like you're filming it right in the middle of just a regular workday.
Oh, we are, and I feel bad for commuters when they roll up on the corner of Sunset and Elysian, and we're using the street because we'll get, like, the motorcycle cops will give us, like, you know, they'll give us an escort if we're driving in a scene, and we do lock off traffic sometimes, and I do feel bad.
Do people honk and yell at you, a-hole?
No, like, they're cops.
We'll be, like, rolling around, and they'll be screaming, yo, stop, in the middle of the take. One time the other day, actually recently, we were on the side of the road doing a scene. Actually, it was a scene between me and Ben where we were having our little lover's quarrel.
Yeah.
And a lady literally pulled right up next to us and started asking us for directions.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
We didn't miss a beat. We were like, yeah, just go right up there to the right. And, you know,
well, the most amazing thing for me, and this is the voice of Sean Hattasy, we're talking about his TV show called Southland, another new episode tonight at 10 on TNT. The amazing thing for me is, and you hit on it briefly, Sean, is that cops are human. And you learn every week, 5 times a week on your show, that it's a life and death decision sometimes. It's a right and wrong decision. It's who's going to live and who's going to die. I mean, in an instant, these guys always have to make the right decision. And I don't know how anyone is a cop. If it's anything like what your show makes being a police officer in Los Angeles look like, I don't know how anyone survives a day of that, much less a career.
I hear you, man. I don't think that I have what it takes to be a cop. And it makes me appreciate the police so much more just having worked on the show. And it is about split-second decisions. And also, I mean, this season we're sort of delving into it a little bit, but there's like a dark side and then there's the good side too.
Sure.
And you're seeing that with Ben. And it's like this job corrupts you. It's a tough town to work in and it's dark. And I like the way the writers have explored this aspect of it. And now it really has become about what is Ben going to do? What kind of cop is he going to become?
Right. Yeah. Well, he's pulling a lot of great tail, I know that.
Yeah, he's getting laid a lot.
That's right.
In contrast to your character.
I'm just hanging out with baby Nate.
Sean, as an actor, is it more fun for you now to play an officer in the street than it was when you were playing a detective in the beginning of the series?
It's a lot more, what's the word? I guess engaging. It's more, it's fast-paced.
You're more active, right?
It's totally different.
Yeah.
I thought I liked being a detective, or playing a detective, but this is, it's totally different, man. I'm driving all the time, and they lock off streets, and we literally can drive as fast as we want.
Sweet.
Turn as hard as we want.
Sweet.
They've got cameras in there. It's, when you're watching TV as a kid and you think, oh, that's what I want to do, like, I'm actually doing it. It's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Hey, listen, before we run out of time, you scared me a little bit when you said, you know, the ratings are going up, but we need more. I mean, we're not in any kind of danger. This isn't going to turn into an NBC situation, is it, with
TNT?
No,
no. TNT has been fantastic. Hey,
okay.
I mean, look, I'm cautiously optimistic that there is another season of Southland. But, you know, I look at shows like NCIS LA, and there's literally 16 million people watching that show.
Yeah.
And we're kind of fighting for viewers. I mean, I think it is a good show, and I just want more people to watch it.
You need LL Cool J.
That's right. We need LL Cool J.
Yeah, you got to put him on your show.
Hey, we got Lucy Liu.
Oh, that's true. You got her.
We got Lucy Liu.
You know, it's funny. When Lucy Liu first joined the cast, Ralph and I were both sort of like looking at each other like,
we got
very
nervous.
Oh, no. She might throw off the vibe of the show and stuff. She's been great.
Yeah, I think she fits in perfectly.
Really
outstanding
well.
Work this week.
She's very believable as a...
She really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
As hot
Lou,
as she is,
and,
she's
and,
believable.
Yeah, and Lou Diamond Phillips, too, I thought.
Oh.
And he just killed it. And, you know, we got C. Thomas Howell, just giving everybody a shout-out. Oh, before I forget, I want to give a CPA shout-out to my accountants.
Nope. No can do.
Josh and Alan, thanks a lot.
Oh, they do good work, Josh and Alan. Yeah.
Somebody's getting off the phone with us and going back to working on his taxes, it sounds like. All right, Sean Hattasey, awesome to have you on. You're welcome anytime, my friend. Southland with another new episode airing tonight and every Tuesday night at 10 on TNT. And if you have not come to the party yet, seriously, get Netflix in on this, get yourself some DVDs, get caught up, and by all means, watch the new episodes.
I don't think you have to get caught up. I think you can start watching tonight and be perfectly fine.
It helps to know the background of the characters, but the action is self-contained from episode to episode, and it's always fascinating and always riveting television.
Thank you guys so much.
Sean, you're the best. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Keep on listening. We got your tickets to the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012 coming up on April the 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. We'll have those for you later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, hi, Lana Del Rey.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
You're so nice.
Thank you.
Why is everyone so mean to you?
It's not everyone.
What has the last 6 months of your life been like? I can't even imagine.
No, you probably can't imagine. I mean, like in my own life, mostly I've just been working a lot. I just, I had to finish the record kind of quickly, and just been on the road mostly with the band doing, we did a little tour in Europe, so it's really just been about work and focusing on the trilogy of videos I was making, so...
Lana's album came out at the end of January, and if my figures are correct, I understand you are now somewhat north of 900,000 copies sold.
That's what
I
hear.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, right?
Yeah, it's more
for any new artist to come out with a record and, you know, be close to selling a million copies in the first 3 months, I mean, that has to be far exceeding any expectations you had when you put the thing out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. But I didn't have too many expectations in terms of sales, like when I actually put the record out. But yes, yeah.
It's not, it doesn't seem to fit a lot of the formats of radio that are playing right now.
No.
Were you afraid of that, of going against the grain a little bit in that maybe you wouldn't get the exposure that you wanted or needed?
No, just not really. Because I never really had too much luck with radio anyways. But in Europe, it was kind of funny when they started playing the longest track on the record.
Did they really?
5 minutes, 23 seconds, love song with no instruments. I was like, really? But very grateful.
We could edit that one to about 2.5.
Yeah. You edit that down to 2:54.
You know, I was thinking, your story is so interesting, and I don't think it could have happened at any time but now in the internet age. It seemed like the internet was vital to you getting the message out that you were around and that you were a new artist, and you made that brilliant video for video games that went viral so quickly. I mean, you developed a lot of fans in a hurry. But then it was also the internet that as soon as somebody found something they didn't like about you, that was able to be spread like wildfire. And it's like wildfire. And it's almost like they built you up and then tried to tear you down within about 30 days. I've never really seen anyone be so loved and then so hated. It became so polarizing so fast. It made my head spin.
Mine is an unusual situation because I'm not naturally a polarizing or controversial person. And what I sing about is actually pretty just pretty balanced, pretty normal. Yeah. But, I mean, what people have to say about me, the really amazing things and the really terrible things, none of them are true. I have nothing to do with what people say.
Some of the good ones can be true.
I'm sure some of them are, but I haven't heard any of them yet. Okay. So it is an unusual situation. The internet right now is creating their own person for themselves to play with. And that's their prerogative. But for me, I've been an artist for a long time. I've been a writer since I was 7. And
really?
How
do you know you can write a song when you're 7?
Well, you can't do much else.
You just start doing it?
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
You co-wrote all of the songs on the album.
I wrote every word on my album. There isn't nothing I didn't write.
And so your co-writers on the album, those are people who help you with put the music tracks together?
They're my composers and my production team.
Gotcha.
I mean, I do have one line I didn't write in Diet Mountain Dew and one line in Lolita. But other than that.
That's close enough.
Let me be clear.
That's close enough. That's full disclosure right there. So how did it happen then, for instance, the Saturday Night Live thing we have to just bring up briefly. How did it happen that they even contacted you to appear on the show before the record came out? I don't know how rarely that happens on SNL.
Because my track was already number one in 11 countries by that time. Like, Europe is completely different from America. You can have a whole different life there, which I do, around the world. And, I mean, when I go to Paris and Milan and when I'm in London, I live a really different life. And my songs play on the radio all day, every day. And so Lauren knew about it just because it was around on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to be proactive and, get
they
somebody
were,
on the way up, right?
Yeah, they were.
And was that something that you had concerns about doing? Did you feel like you were ready for that kind of a national exposure in a live setting?
Yeah, because, I've been performing for 8 years. I've been performing, playing my own guitar in Brooklyn since I was, 17. So, for me, it's not like it's something somebody pushed me into and I'm not ready for whatever.
Right.
I personally liked my performance. I like what I do. I like how I sing. I'm just a little bit freaky. If you don't like how I sing on stage, it's just not your thing.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So based on the fallout that happened afterwards, though, did you regret doing it or no?
No, because I've learned in my what seems like a very long life that I make really good decisions. I made a good decision to say yes to that show because I was ready. And I don't usually regret anything I do. And I liked my performance.
You're the opposite of me. I second guess everything that I do.
You make a lot of bad decisions. Though, right?
Every single decision I make, I have to go back on.
Oh, that's too bad.
It really is.
I've seen. There's a lot of video about you on YouTube, including. It's funny you mentioned Paris. I've seen the video of fans approaching you on the street in Paris. I saw some of the video from your Amoeba Records performance, and you are one of those artists. And maybe I can't figure out what it is that touches people in this way about some musical artists, but people cry when they meet you a lot of times, and I can't understand that. Do you?
Is it because you sing about heartbreak and
I think maybe what the people who like me like about me is the fact that I really believe in myself and what I do, and I never compromise in any way in my life, not lyrically and not in reality. And I think, like, the people who sort of feel like they know me from my lyrics, and I think that they know that what I write about is what really went down and how I really feel about it, and I never said anything just to say it or just to rhyme over sugary pop songs. Like, I really care about documenting my life in a musical fashion. And so I think, like, the people who like me are actually artists.
That authenticity comes through?
Well, by the very definition of authentic, it means that you are real. And since I really have done everything that I said I did do, I think the kids know that. The rest is just a story that somebody else made up.
I don't understand why there has been so much negativity toward you. I mean, people who mm-hmm. pick you apart for something as simple as changing your stage performance name, which mm-hmm. dozens of popular artists have done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it never bothered anyone that Lady Gaga wasn't born Lady Gaga. That's mm-hmm. the name and the image that she chose, and people love her for it. You do the exact same thing, and so many people were down on you. I can't figure out what the rub is with people. I don't get it.
Sometimes you just see someone and you just don't, you know, it's just their personality. Like, if you, also, like, people, you know, we're all pretty, like, simple. Like, you can get a feeling about someone just by the way, like, just on first impact on how they look. Mm-hmm. And so if you look mm-hmm. at someone and you think, you know, I don't really like the look of that person, well, then right. their personality gets in the way of the music for you. You can't really tell why or when that's going to happen. But, I mean, I'm not really surprised. Never really had it easy in that regard in terms of people just letting things fly. So this is right. nothing new to me.
How's your how do you keep your hair so awesome?
Lots of extensions and a cafoni.
I have to be honest, that's the first time that question's ever been asked.
Well, it looks like a lot of work. I'm just saying, you have spectacular hair. I think that should be noted for the record. That's all.
Thanks, Boo.
A lot of don't really call me Boo. I think that's a nice note to leave it on. The album is called Born to Die. It is available everywhere. The videos, by the way, let me just mention briefly, and I know we're already taking way too much time here, but how was the video game video made? It looks like it's you singing, but interspersed with lots of what seems like found footage from mm-hmm. the 50s through the 70s. How did that even happen?
Because I've been an editor for 9 years. I edit other bands' videos in Brooklyn, and I edit my own. It's not
you made this video?
Obviously.
Well, I didn't know. Wow, that's very impressive.
Sorry.
Obviously.
No, I did.
That sounded a little snobby. I got to be honest.
I know. It's because no one thinks I do anything. It's crazy. No, I did. I actually loved making it and the other videos, too.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Are you really, really going to sing live at this time of day?
I'm going to freaking try.
All right.
That's awesome.
Okay. Well, we're very excited to have you. I'm so glad we finally got to meet you, and congratulations on all the success. And we'll talk to you in the other room when Lana Del Rey returns to perform live right here on the Kevin and Bean Show after this. Good times on the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. Our musical guest is Lana Del Rey. She's in studio with you, Kevin. What's the setup like here for the performance?
There we go. Sorry. We have a keyboard, and we have a guitarist, and we have Lana. And they're going to make great music out of just these few instruments, which is...
And what are you doing? You have a horn or anything? Are you contributing at all or no?
Yeah, I'm going to come in with the cowbell if needed. Or okay. I also have the...
I like a tambourine, yeah. What are we going to be hearing first, kids?
I think we're going to do video games for you first.
Love it.
How come she gets to sound like she's in a tunnel and I sound like this?
No kidding,
yes,
right?
That's how I roll.
Okay.
Lana Del Rey, ladies and gentlemen, live here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Swinging in the backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. You open up a beer, say get over here and play your video games. I'm in your favorite sundress, getting undressed, take your body downtown, baby. While I say you're the best, it's leaning for a big kiss. Put your favorite perfume on, go play your video games.
It's you, it's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you want to do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better than I ever even knew. They say that the world was built for two. Only worth living if somebody is loving you. And baby, now you do. We're swinging in the old bar, singing with the old stars, living for the fame. Kissing in the blue dark, playing blue and wild dots and video games. He holds me in his big arms, drunk and I'm seeing stars. This is all I think of, baby. We're watching all our friends fall in and out of old Paul's. This is my idea of fun, playing your video games. It's you, it's you, it's all for you. Every little thing that I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you wanna do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better than I ever even knew. They say that the world was built for two. It's worth living if somebody is loving you. And baby, now you do. It's you, it's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you wanna do. I heard that you like them bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better than I ever even knew. They say that the world was built for two. It's worth living if somebody is loving you.
All right,
come on,
now.
Man, come on. How about that? Wow. That sounded fantastic. I'm aroused.
Oh, no, no, no.
Musically.
No, no.
Musically.
Okay.
I'm good.
Don't tell us any more about that.
Lana Del Rey is here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Lana, did you see the mashup that somebody did of that song with the Smiths song, This Charming Man, on the NME site?
No, I don't think I've heard of that one.
So funny. You have to check it out.
It's
you and
funny?
Morrissey singing together. No, well, I mean, it's so creative. It's clever that somebody had the idea to put those two songs together. But
oh,
I think
cool.
You'll really, really enjoy
we'll
it.
I have to hear it.
What else you got for us?
I'm going to do Blue Jeans.
Fantastic.
We would enjoy that very much.
Okay, good. Blue jeans, white shirt. Walked into the room, you know you made my eyes burn. It was like James Dean, for sure. You were so fresh to death and sick of cancer. You were sort of punk rock, I grew up on hip-hop. But you fit me better than my favorite sweater. And I know that love is mean, and love can hurt. But I still remember that day we met in December. And I was till the end of time, I would wait a million years.
Can you see through the tears? Love you more than those pictures before. Say you'll remember. Say you'll remember now, baby. Woo-hoo! I'll love you till the end of time. Big dreams, gangster. You said you had to leave to start your life over. I was like, no, please, stay here. We don't need no money, we can make it all work. You headed out on Sunday, said you'd come home Monday. I stayed up waiting, anticipating and pacing. But he was chasing the paper. Caught up in the game, it was the last I heard. But I will love you till the end of time. I would wait a million years. Promise you'll remember that you're mine, mine. Can you see through them tears? Love you more than those pictures before. Say you'll remember. Say you'll remember now, baby. You went out every night, and baby, that's alright. I told you that no matter what you did, I'd be by you. Shut that door, a piece of me died. Told you I wanted more, it's not what I had in mind. Just wanted like before. We were dancing all night, then they took you away. Stole you out of my life, you just need to remember. Love you till the end of time. I'd wait a million years. Promise you'll remember that you're mine, mine. Can you see through them tears? Love you more than those pictures before. Say you'll remember. Say you'll remember now, baby.
Come well, on. Except for your potty mouth. I mean, that was really great.
Sorry about that. Didn't really think about that.
Yes, we were surprised, too, to tell you the truth.
That was fantastic.
That was so good. Lana, really, really fun. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for having us.
No problem.
No, it's our pleasure. The album is called Born to Die. It is available everywhere, all the time, always, and you should get it. I hope we see you again, my dear. Thanks for coming in.
Circle K invites you to try their cure for the common wiener, made of 100% beef and 20% bigger than the competition. They're sure to give anyone near you a serious case of hot dog envy.
Oh, come on!
Circle K premium all beef hot dogs.
They're begging for it.
So much beef.
Oh, Lisa!
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
That's not a real commercial,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is.
Common wiener hot dog envy. Come on, Circle K. You're making it impossible for us to let her do your commercial.
Too much meat.
What's happening? Beef.
Beef.
Sorry.
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat, and then we throw up. We'll throw up the phone lines right now to you if you want to join us for Kevin Means April Foolishness 2012. It is sold out Saturday, April 7th. We're talking about Larry King and Jay Moore and Eddie Izzard and Jim Jeffries and Bob Saget and Eddie F and the whole gang. If you want to go, how are we doing it this time, Ralph?
I believe we're bringing in our old friend Rodney Bingenheimer is going to stop by.
Oh,
Rodney, of course, not only a rock and roll legend, knows everything about popular music, but a lot of people don't know. He is also known as the Joke Machine. Knows every joke ever written. He has memorized.
To tell Rodney a joke, you just get two words out, and
he comes up with the punchline. It's annoying, but it's quite a miracle. It's quite a thing to watch him do. It's a great party trick. What we'll have you do is call in, and you give the setup to the joke. You have to think of your favorite joke, give the setup, and Rodney will fill in the punchline. Now, if you stump him, if he doesn't know the punchline, you get into the drawing for tickets for April Foolishness. But if he beats you, if he already knows the punchline and quotes it, then you lose.
Okay, so 1-800-520-1067. If you can stump Rodney, the joke machine, we'll do that next. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Interesting news. I don't know if you guys covered this yesterday when I was out or not, but Demi Moore apparently out of rehab and now vacationing, trying to get herself well. I thought it was fascinating that she is getting dry in the Caribbean.
where I've just come from, and you cannot step onto a beach without someone handing you a fruity cocktail with tons of rum in it. Not the place to dry out, the Caribbean. It's like saying, I'm going to Vegas to get over my gambling addiction. I'm just saying, poor choice on Demi's part going to the Caribbean islands, where rum is the major...
Yeah.
The major source of all fluid that they drink. They bathe in it. They fill their pools with it.
They breathe rum.
They do. It's they wear rum lungs, they're called. It's two tanks of rum on their back with a regulator in their mouth, and they just constantly inhale rum. Just saying. I don't know if I would choose the Caribbean islands as a place to dry out.
We did that story, but we didn't have the insight of the rum.
Just struck me as funny, having just come from there, that it's not a place you want to go to get over being loaded.
Yeah.
It's a place you go to get loaded.
Which you did, I'm guessing, a lot.
Boy, did I. Speaking of failed attempts, Beer Mug, I want to let you know I brought in a big shopping bag of Girl Scout cookies for a buddy in the house here. So
great.
We got Thin Mints in the other room.
Thin Mints, yeah.
Thin Mints.
That's
two boxes of Thin Mints. We got the Do-Si-Dos.
Good.
We've got your Tagalongs.
Excellent.
Got your Dulce de Leche.
You don't want me winning $200?
We're loaded for beer. Look, do whatever you need to do. I'm just saying.
He's just trying to be nice.
Just trying to let the team here know that I brought in snacks for everybody.
That's very nice of you, Ralph.
So help yourself out.
Well, Mugs, we learned earlier in the weigh-in that you can eat whatever you want, not gain weight.
That's right. Yeah. As long as you break even, that's the real goal to weight loss. Oh, I'm so excited for this auction. I mentioned it last hour, but I had to bring it up again. Now, Marvel Entertainment is auctioning off key props from its Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor movies on April the 14th. It's happening at the Chicago Comic-Con, Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. It's being done by Profiles in History. Here's what you can get. Thor's hammer. Yes, please. Thank you. Captain America's costume and shield.
You're not going to be able to get it all, Ralph.
And an Iron Man suit of armor. Mm. Can you imagine wearing the Iron Man suit of armor?
I'd walk around town all day.
That'd be awesome. Never take it off. The codpiece would get rusted. Well, I'm saying, I don't know how easy it is to go to the bathroom in that thing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm saying.
Numbers are pretty steep, though. They're expecting Thor's hammer to start the bidding around $5,000 for that. Captain America's costume and shield, bring $30,000 with you if you want to start bidding on that.
To start!
And the Iron Man suit of armor, about $75,000, they're guessing.
Wow.
Which is cheap, really, if you think about it. Because you can fly and shoot repulsor rays and take out airplanes and stuff.
I don't think you can do any of that, really.
You can jump out of a plane without a parachute and just
I don't think so.
Fly around.
Ralph, this may be a dumb question, forgive me, but why are they selling all this stuff? Aren't they going to be making more of those movies with those characters?
I'm sure they are, and they'll probably make more...
suits?
Props and costumes, yeah.
Seems like
if they already have quadruples, quintuples, sextuples, whatever, of each. I mean, they always have multiples of the hero costumes because they need them in case anything goes bad. You can't shut down production while you make yourself a new suit of armor. So these are just one of many, I'm sure. But not easy to get a hold of this stuff, so there's a chance for the general public to get some cool stuff. This is proof positive, people, that smoking is bad for your health. Okay. Take Back Sunday's frontman Adam Lazara was taking a cigarette break on Saturday while the band was recording its new album in rural Michigan. Just out there having a smoke, and a tree fell on him.
What?
He's out there in the woods having a cigarette, and a tree falls on him. This is what
they try
to tell you, people. This is why smoking is dangerous to your health.
Because
a tree will fall on
you. I don't think anyone's ever tied those two together.
I think they have.
Huh.
Adam was trapped underneath it, and none of the guys in the band could pull him out. By the time the local fire department got there, they had to saw the tree to pieces to get him out from under it.
Wow.
His leg is broken. He'll be in a cast for the next 4 to 6 weeks, but of course it could have been a lot worse. But see, people? That's what happens when you smoke.
Right.
A tree falls on your ass. Today's celebrity
says
birthdays.
Ralph, who just came in from outside.
But you know what I do? I always pick a nice, clear field, so I'm safe. My smoking is safe because I am not anywhere near large trees.
Lightning.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Chris Thompson of Vampire Weekend is 28 years old. Rapper Bubba Spark celebrates his 35th birthday. Former Laker Shaquille O'Neal celebrates his 40th birthday. I miss Shaq. He was always a very entertaining player.
He was.
Great interview. Moira Kelly is 44 years old. Connie Britton turns 45. D.L. Hughley celebrates his 48th birthday. Tom Arnold is 53. Actor, director, producer Rob Reiner celebrates his 65th birthday. Here's a guy who started out on a sitcom and now one of the biggest movers and shakers in Hollywood. I think him and Ron Howard
probably like the biggest examples of guys who started out just working as actors on sitcoms and now they're big moguls. And David Gilmour of Pink Floyd turned 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 month from tomorrow night, we'll be at the Gibson Amphitheater for April Foolishness 2012. Felipe Esparza, Brad Williams,
all
Tim
right.
Minchin.
All right.
Hi, Rodney.
Tim
How are you, Rodney?
I love Tim Minchin.
Yeah, we are big fans, too. Eddie Iff, Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Larry King, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and the April Foolishness house band, Cleto and the Cletones. Rodney, you're going to be coming to the show this year?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do my stand-up chunk.
We don't. Well, we don't have.
All right, Rodney on the jokes.
We don't have really a spot for you.
So
that
then,
night.
Marcia Brady says, "What? Oh, my nose!"
All right, Rodney. We know that you're a big fan of comedy, and there's no joke you haven't heard. Right? You're going to be able to tell the punchline of any
ever
joke.
Made. Jokes are godhead.
All right. Okay. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Rodney the Joke Machine.
He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
Hey, he's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine, he's Rodney.
All right. Beer Mug loves that song.
Yeah. All right, Rodney,
we're just going to... a chair doing it.
We're just going to take him in order, starting with Sean on line one. You understand, because sometimes you get confused when we bring you in here. You understand that they're going to set up the joke. You give the punchline, right?
Of course. I'm not dumb. I know.
Okay. All right. Sean.
The game.
Hey, what's going on?
All right. Sean.
You're on with Rodney the Joke Machine. Go ahead.
Rodney, what's up?
What's up, Sean? What's your joke?
What do you call a blonde grabbing at air?
Wrecked him, darn near killed him.
Is that the punchline to his joke?
That's the punchline.
Sean, is that the punchline?
I like that one better, but no, it's not.
What do you call it?
She's collecting her thoughts.
See?
Okay, see? You stumped Rodney, we're going to put you in the drawing.
Rodney,
you didn't hear
that one before?
All right. Lead singer of the Runaways was blonde.
Okay, good.
Yes. Well, how is that helping us, though?
All right.
Let's go to Chad. Hi, Chad.
Cherry bomb.
What?
Hey.
Chad, you're on with Rodney the Joke Machine.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yes,
hey, guys.
Go ahead. Tell your joke.
Chad. Hey, what's the difference between a dentist and a gynecologist?
So the tooth fairy says $20, same as in town.
What?
All right, that may be a punchline, but it's for a different joke, Rodney.
No,
that's
for
not
that
the
one.
Answer to this one.
What's the difference between a dentist and a gynecologist? No, that's for you. We're talking to you, Chad.
Teeth.
Can we hang up on him, or do we have to put him in the drawing?
Well, let's put him in the drawing, but let's make sure he doesn't win. Thank you for the call, Chad. Adam is next on line three. Hey, try to pay attention. We're having a conversation with you people on the phone. Try to talk back to us, all right? Moves it along.
All right.
Adam.
All right.
Adam.
Yes.
Adam Ant. Don't
nope,
drink,
just Adam.
Don't smoke. What do we do?
Just Adam. Oh. Adam, what is your joke for Rodney the Joke Machine?
All right, you got two potatoes. Which one's the hooker?
Pardon me, Roy. Is that the cat who ate your new shoes?
What
does that have to do with two potatoes?
Adam, which one is the hooker?
The one with the sticker that says Idaho.
Okay, very nice.
Okay, that's a state where they grow potatoes.
That's why it's funny, Rodney.
No, just that would make sense. They probably both have those
let's
stickers.
Let's go to let's go to
they're
Jake.
Russets. What if they're both russets? It doesn't make any sense.
Jake, hi. Hello, Jake.
Hey, guys. Hey, Rodney. Good morning.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Hi, Jake.
Know.
What's your...
Jake, what is your joke?
What do you do with an elephant with three balls?
Give me a chapstick and put it on my bill.
You walk him and pitch to the rhino.
Got it.
Very,
okay.
Very funny. All you're right. In the drawing. Right. Hang on. Roddy, are you listening to what their setup is before you give your punchline?
These are the jokes, people. I don't dance.
But it doesn't seem like your punchlines follow their setups.
They're telling the setups wrong.
Okay. Michaela, hi.
Hi. How many police officers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Elvis Parsley.
Is it Elvis Parsley?
No, it only takes one, but they're never around when you need them.
Okay, not a good joke, but you did stump Rodney, so please hang on.
At least you told it well.
Right, exactly.
At least she's got insulting law enforcement people everywhere.
All right.
Glad she did that.
Her name is Michaela.
All right. One more, maybe. Let's do Charles on line six.
All right. Charles, hi.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Rodney.
All right.
What is
I'm
your...
I'm glad Rodney smoked some weed this morning, because then I can tell my joke and he won't get it. What did the mama bullet say to the papa bullet?
It's a knick-knack, paddywhack. Give the frog a loan.
What? Is that...
Rodney's out there today.
Yeah. All right.
Let's have a BB.
Let's have a BB.
Nope.
What?
I'm with Rodney on this one. All right.
I'm with Rodney.
Sean, Chad, I guess. Adam, Jake, Michaela, and Charles are all in the drawing.
Lisa May. What did I win?
No,
did
you
I
don't win?
Win
anything, Rodney, but Lisa's going to tell us who wins April Foolishness tickets.
Charles.
Yay!
All right.
Charles. Congratulations, Charles.
All right, thanks.
Charles, you're in charge.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine. He's
Upcoming guests this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, still to come, by the way, include our friend Adam Carolla, also Uriah Faber talking about the Ultimate Fighter show, William Shatner talking about his one-man show that I think you guys are going to, right?
Yes, I am.
Actor Adam Scott is going to be on the program. Taylor Kitsch, the star of John Carter. Got a lot of good stuff still coming this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How do we get the topic of fear of flying?
We got an email from Kevin and Bean listener Jacob, who says, I know that you help cure sickness and fear, which I wasn't aware of, but I'm going to take that.
Yeah, we're known for that.
Please help me with my fear of flying, guys. I'm about to start my new job. I'm going to need to fly about 10 times before this year is up, and I am scared ishless. Can you all help me and cure me, please? I'm sure there are others out there who have to fly for work, and I am deathly afraid to fly. Now, we ordinarily either don't read or just ignore listener emails, but there was something about the desperation in Jacob's email tone that I said, we got to help this guy out, because I can't even imagine how bad that would be if he's got to start flying for work, and he dreads every second of it. So we asked him to come on, and maybe we thought we could help him, and maybe we could get some help from other people who have faced this as well. Hi, Jacob. How are you?
Very good, guys. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
What on earth made you think that Kevin and Bean could help anybody with anything ever?
Well, I mean, you know, Bean, maybe. Kevin, not so much.
How dare you, sir? We are healers.
Jacob, what's your flying history? Have you ever been on an airplane before?
I've been on a plane about 10 times every single time. No joke, the captain always gets on the little phone and goes, sorry about that, folks, we almost got into a midair collision.
No, they don't ever say that. That's never happened one time.
They don't tell you for one thing.
Don't lie to us, Jacob. Don't lie to us. We'll come down there.
I know. No, 10 times. The last time I was on a plane, I was flying from Israel, and we're halfway home, and the plane literally banks to the right, banks to the left, goes up, goes down, starts doing all these like weird maneuvers and stuff, and then the plane, the pilot gets on the thing, and he's like, sorry about that, folks, we almost got into a head-on collision with another plane.
Yeah, they say
that probably won't happen.
That's a lie, you're lying. No pilot has ever said that.
Because
not one time.
Because if they almost got in a midair collision, they would never say that to the passenger.
Never say that.
They would never say, "Woo, that was close." Wow, we almost died.
I would never lie about that. And I would never go on a radio show and lie about that.
Sure. First of all, you would, because you did. And second of all, Jacob, let me just ask one question out of the blue, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Are you the Boston Bruins fan?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Oh, have you guys had a separate relationship aside from this?
Well, on Twitter, he's just mouthing off about the Boston Bruins and how they're going to kick the Kings' ass, and he can't wait to see my face. But then he had to move to Texas. Now he has to fly. He's kind of a tool.
So you want him to be afraid of flying.
Here's
you want
what I would
to,
like.
To hate every minute of it, right?
I would like to take calls from people who had horrible experiences flying. That's what I would like to do.
Instead of people calling who have conquered their fear of flying?
Yeah, because he's an a-hole.
No,
admit, Jacob, admit it. You're an a-hole.
I am an aficionado of good hockey, and that's why I don't like the Kings.
He's been mouthing off for a long time. No, but we could go either way. Bean, we could do how you got over your fear of flying if you want to be boring, or we could do really, really horrible situations, and that would make Jacob feel worse. That would be my choice.
I wouldn't mind continuing to terrify Jacob with all the things that can go wrong. I guess we could go that way, because there were a lot of really good suggestions that we had from people who have been able to beat the fear of flying, but I'm fine with that, too. If you just want to pile on it, make it worse for him.
Either way.
Because let's face it, planes go down all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
It's almost a miracle when one of them lands intact, as far as that's been my experience.
It's a coin flip.
Yeah. Hey, guys, there's no, and I'm telling you one thing, that the worst thing you could ever watch is my favorite show was Lost.
Yeah.
So I'm... No. Yeah. Okay, then.
Okay. All right. You hold on. We're going to take some calls. We'll see what we get. We'll see what we get. We'll see what kind of calls we get. Maybe people are going to call and tell you the secret to getting over their fear of flying. And other people might call and tell you ways things went wrong. I hope that's what happens.
Just think about how many parts have to all work exactly correctly on an airplane in order for that flight to be successful.
Every screw, every single piece has to work together.
Yeah, there's a lot that could go wrong, and we'd like to hear what went wrong on your plane. 1-800-520-1067. We're helping out our friend Jacob here, and we'll talk to you next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Doing a public service for our listener Jacob here on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. He wrote in that he is terrified of flying and has just taken a new job where he's going to have to fly 10 times in the next few months, and he wants some advice on how to help. So we were originally going to have people call in with suggestions on how to beat the fear of flying. Then Kevin found out he was a Boston fan of Boston sports teams, and he said, no, instead, let's make it worse for him. But you can do either one. You can call or email either one. Let me just, Jacob, are you back on the line with us, sir?
Yes, I am.
It's not that he's a Boston fan. I have no problem with that. He's an a-hole fan. That's a problem.
Those are synonymous. Okay, come on, go ahead. Here's a couple of emails. I think is exactly what you're looking for, Jacob. I think this is gonna fill you with joy here. Kevin and Bean, the key to getting over the fear of flying is to stop visualizing the plane as a lightweight, crushable coffin. At least try not to focus on the fact that the wings are filled with one of the most combustible liquids ever produced. That's from Phil.
Good.
Dante writes in, nothing ever even has to be wrong mechanically with the plane. It could just be some tired moron that kills you. Remember all those stories about the air traffic controller sleeping on the job? I'm just saying, go Kings, bitch. And then Tyler writes in, hi, guys. I'm a machinist. Actually, I'm on my way to work. I'm running a bit late right now, but I build airplane parts out of titanium and aluminum. I have to make them within a thousandth of an inch, and to be quite honest, I wouldn't ride on or trust any plane whose parts I made. That's for damn sure.
So, wow, that's rough.
That's some nice contributions I think people are making here.
I like that. Let's talk to Matt. I think Matt has some input for us on line 7. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Tell us about your flying experience.
All right, well, 5 years ago, I was in pilot training in the Air Force, and I was on my solo flight. We had dual runways. I was on the right runway, there was planes on the left, and while I was doing touch and goes, I was coming up off of landing, and there was a miscommunication up in the tower with one of the other planes, and he crossed over into my runway, my airspace.
How often would you say that happens? A lot?
I've heard of it. I mean, miscommunications happen all the time. There's tons of close calls all the time. I mean,
All right.
So I've had buddies that actually had midair collision. So,
Tell
that guy to stop being a wuss.
Very, very common. I don't have the exact numbers. Thank you, Matt, for the call. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think 50% of planes have midair collisions when they go up in the air. That's the number.
I would check that statistic, but I want to believe it because it
Let's try Jill. Jill is in a family that includes a safety engineer for airplanes. Oh. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you? What do you have for Jacob?
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, so my dad's a safety engineer for airplanes. So
oh, great.
He has, yeah. So, I mean, one miscalculation on his part, you know, bad news.
Right, sure.
But when I was a kid, he used to bring home videos. My mom used to not be scared of flying at all. Now she's terrified. Like, every video he brought home, she's just like, I can't fly anymore.
Dad, a safety engineer, bring home videos of planes going down?
Not planes going down, just like tests they would do. Like,
oh, I see.
They showed like a bird, like what would happen if a bird went in the propeller.
Right.
Or all
Which could
stuff,
happen anytime.
So. But like every time I go on a plane with him, he freaks me out because he's counting the seats. The emergency exit. And I was like, well, why are you doing that? He's like, well, if the lights go down, then I can count how many seats.
Wow.
To the emergency exit. I'm like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that really makes you feel better.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there are so many things that can go wrong. I mean, that's what it is. It's not just like one thing. There's thousands of things that have to all be perfect.
There's so many parts, and you know.
Jacob, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just checking if Jacob was still there. All right.
Jill, thank you for the call. Let's go to Megan. Megan is on line one, and she has something new to bring to the conversation. I think this is important for you to hear, Jacob, as you're going to be flying a lot in 2012. Hi, Megan. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi, what happened to you?
My plane got struck by lightning.
Oh man.
We hadn't even thought about that.
What happened? Explain.
Yeah, I was going from JFK to LAX during a storm, and when we finally got clearance to take off, about 20 minutes into the flight, there was a huge flash and a bang that sounded like a shotgun had gone off right beside your ear.
Sweet.
And right at that moment, you know, a bunch of people kind of screamed in shock, and then absolutely nothing. And so there's lots of murmuring and kind of whispering going on, and then all of a sudden, like, the stewardesses kept on, you know, got up and running back and forth, you know, down and up the aisleways. And
trying to act like they're not scared.
Keep calm, everybody. Keep calm.
And Megan, would you suggest that that's probably going to happen at some point to Jacob?
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm.
Wow, that's rough. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I mean, when you think about it, you're waving around an enormous piece of metal all by itself out there in the sky. I mean, it's almost like it's designed to draw lightning, right?
It's a lightning rod, if you'd be so.
Let's try Richard, line two. He's got something for Jacob, too. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, man. I was on a flight from Reno connecting through San Francisco going to Burbank, and it was a Southwest flight. Everybody was partying.
Why vodka keeps your mind sharper, according to a new study. We'll talk about that next hour. And Ralph, you have not heard. You were out yesterday. You missed the first round of Beer Mug's red carpet interviews from Project X.
Yeah. First round?
First.
Was another marathon?
It's a second round today.
Oh, yes. Sweet Lord.
We have to play a couple of the ones that Ralph missed yesterday. Oh, he has to be reintroduced to those. Then we got some new ones we haven't heard yet. But that's all coming up right now.
I'm afraid I'm getting too good.
That was what he said, yeah.
Yeah, not much worry.
You know, he plays the drums, Ralph.
No, I didn't know that he was a drummer. Oh, wait a minute. I remember him telling everyone at the Grammys that he was a drummer. Now I remember.
And at Project X.
Oh, good. Well, you know, that movie's all about drumming.
That's right.
He thought it was about the band X.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin DeBeat show.
While we're talking about red carpets, I haven't been this excited about a film in a long time. Will Ferrell is starring in a new movie called Casa de Mi Padre, which is a comedy entirely en español.
Are there subtitles?
Yes, there are.
Because no speaky.
Which makes it even funnier to me. If you're watching Will and you don't know what he's saying, it's one thing to go and you see it. If you speak Spanish, I'm sure you'll get a lot of laughs. But I'm looking forward to going, seeing, having no idea what he's saying, having him do a very dramatic, serious reading, and then reading what he's really saying in the subtitles underneath. What a clever idea for a film. This comes from the creative mind of Will and Adam McKay, his longtime comedy partner.
These guys are nut jobs.
All those guys at... what's
funny
his production company? Dirty Sanchez or something?
I don't know.
Something Sanchez Productions. Anyway, I just can't wait. The trailer makes me laugh hard.
You don't see stars that big taking this kind of wild out there.
That's why
chance.
I really respect it, because it's a bold choice to do a film entirely in Spanish. And from the looks of it, it is sort of a spoof on those telenovelas where everything is super dramatic and every relationship is filled with passion and fury. Oh, man, I cannot wait for this film. I've got tickets to not just the movie, the red carpet world premiere of Casa de Mi Padre. It's happening on March the 14th at Grauman's Chinese Theater. I will be there. Would you like to come? I bet you would. Well, you can't! Ha, 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 ha!
I think you're supposed to.
What?
Ask giveaway.
Oh, I'm supposed to give away tickets here?
Tickets.
All right, well, let's give away some true Will fans. If you know something about Will, call now, 1-800-520-1067. Here's the trivia question. Will, of course, a native, local Southern California boy out of Irvine, California.
Yes.
Went to USC?
Yes. True.
What did he get his degree in? What did Will Ferrell get his college degree in? His bachelor's degree was in what? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five people with the correct answer will score a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Casa de Mi Padre.
Quantum physics?
Yes, quantum physics.
He was so close.
Yes, he was going to build a super collider, but it turns out he got into the groundlings instead in Pursuit of Life in comedy. Are we having Will on for this? I think we
are, but I'm not positive he's going to speak to us in English.
Even better!
Which means we're going to have to bring in an interpreter.
Well, we're screwed.
Yeah.
Because Dave the King of Mexico, he doesn't sing, he doesn't speak Spanish.
No.
Well, Bean took about 14 years of Spanish, right? So he must be fluent by now.
Nope.
But Ben, you've taken so many classes in Spanish.
The first answer is yes, he did take that many classes.
I did. I took a lot of Spanish. Yeah, I took it in high school and in college,
right.
And then I took a course after that just on my own.
So you must be fluent in Espanol.
I do very well while I'm taking the course, but then it immediately evaporates when it is not used.
No bueno.
Yeah. No bueno indeed.
And yet he still knows all the details of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
That he does.
So go figure. Breaking news here. Former reality star Tila Tequila last week had a brain aneurysm and a drug overdose.
What? Oh, finally some good news.
No, the sad news is she survived.
Oh.
Are you effing kidding me? Davy Jones is dead and she's alive.
And by the way, do we believe anything about the aneurysm and the whatever she's saying? Because
that's
she makes up so much stuff.
Remember, that's she was point. Pregnant with her she lesbian girlfriend's right. baby, and the family was trying to take it away. And then she has these press releases, and then you never hear a thing again about the story.
Right. Oh, I'm married. Oh, now I'm not.
Yeah, I married.
I'm celibate. I mean, every day it's something new with her.
I married a wombat, and we had little wom children. And
if that happened, that'd be cool.
The story allegedly is she suffered a brain aneurysm in the middle of the night, causing her to take two bottles of an unidentified prescription drug for the pain. Tila claims she began convulsing, threw up all over her bed, and then broke her bedroom window attempting to jump out to kill herself.
Did she
no bueno.
Do this all on a live Ustream broadcast to her fans?
No, sadly, no. She survived the event, apparently. However, there are reports that she is still struggling to speak and that the overdose could have caused permanent brain damage.
Fantastic.
So it's a minor injury in her particular case. But if she's struggling to speak, this may be a win-win all the way around, people. Keep that in mind. Unbelievable. Universal has announced they are going forward with their movie based on the Ouija board.
No, 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 no! No!
Ouija board the movie?
Didn't they do that already?
Nope.
Oh.
This was part of the deal with Hasbro, I guess it was, where they bought all of their board games and decided to make movies out of all of them, which, of course, is going to give us Battleship coming up soon.
Or, as we call it, Transformers 4.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we've got Candyland in the works. Now the Ouija board. They originally were going to drop the production because it had a budget of $100 million.
Wow!
They've just submitted a new budget, the producers, to Universal, for $5 million.
All right, we'll cut it a little.
Okay, it'll just be three people and a Ouija board in a room for 2 hours asking questions of the ghosts. Hold on, I got a Ouija board right here. Let me see. Will this be a good movie? Oh, well, there you go. The spirits have spoken, so now we know. Come on, Universal. Get your act together.
No bueno.
We haven't answered my trivia question. I think Alex on line three perhaps was the first person through. Alex? Alex?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Will Ferrell, of course, a Trojan, went to USC, got his bachelor's degree in what?
In sports information.
Sports information. What a BS degree is that?
That is bullshit.
How furious his parents must have been paying for 4 years of higher education for him to walk away with a sports information degree. Apparently, Will was planning on being a sportscaster at one point, but instead is one of the most successful comedians in Hollywood. Not too shabby.
Yep.
Hold on, Alex. We're going to email the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Casa de Mi Padre.
Congratulations.
Congratulations also to Derek and Sarah and Liz and Katie. They'll all go to the premiere as well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Pink Floyd, legendary rock band. Singer-guitarist David Gilmour is 66 years old today. Actor-director Rob Reiner turns 65. Tom Arnold's 53. D.L. Hughley.
I loved McHale's Navy.
Well, sure. Didn't we all? D.L. Hughley, of the Hughleys, is 48 years old. Connie Britton celebrates her 45th birthday. Actress Moira Kelly is 44. Shaq, former NBAer Shaquille O'Neal, is 40 years old. Rapper Bubba Sparks turns 35. And Chris Thompson of Vampire Weekend is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph, you weren't here yesterday.
No, I was at six, sir.
We unveiled some of Beer Mug's red carpet interviews from Project X, which we gave him credit for. There aren't going to be any stars there.
No.
We gave him credit for the fact that these are difficult interviews to do because you don't have – it's not like talking to Will Ferrell where you've got a body of work that you can reference.
It doesn't matter with Mugs. He draws the best out of anyone he's interviewing.
That's true.
He's like Charlie Rose.
Thank you, Ralph.
That's what we found out yesterday. It would have been very difficult for Kevin and Bean on the red carpet. Beer Mug is as stellar as he is always.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's
That was started.
Yep. Check. 1, 2.
All right. Now, he talks to 13-year-old Dylan Sprayberry.
Ah, Dylan Sprayberry.
Who I don't think is in Project X.
No.
I think he's in the Superman
project. Yeah, he's coming up in a Man of Steel.
So.
All right. I'm here with Dylan Sprayberry. And I'm thinking, Dylan, not many people have heard of you before. Could you tell me what you got going on?
That's his question. What you got going on?
Well, at least you made a point of pointing out that he's a nobody.
He does that to everybody that he doesn't know. He has to tell them he doesn't know them.
That's his interview style. He makes the subject of the interview feel great about themselves, and then they open up.
Remember, this kid's 13, right?
Yeah.
So here's his follow-up question.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
This kid's trying. He's trying to do an interview.
He's 13. Okay, now Beer
when
Mug.
You were a zygote, did you like Superman? In utero?
Now, Beer Mug wants to hang out and party with this kid, but he's only 13.
I wish I had your mentality when I was 13, because, I would be, you know, just larger than life like yourself. And you know what? Like, when you're 21, hit me up. We'll go hit the bars. We'll go.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know about, you know, drinking, but yeah, okay. I'll think about it.
We can do something else.
The years, yeah.
No!
Hey!
Where's Chris Hansen when you need him?
Hey. I wasn't hitting on him.
We could do something else.
You said we could do something else.
I wasn't hitting on it. That was simply an invitation for when he gets 20, turns 21.
That's 8 years from
now.
Well, do you think he's going to remember you 8 years from now?
Absolutely.
You're larger than life, you wrote.
Who makes a date with a 13-year-old boy to meet up in 8 years, and if you don't want to drink, we'll find something else
we'll
to do.
We'll do something
else.
Can't wait until you get older.
Here's Beer Mug's finely crafted question about acting, about the art of acting.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but, like, I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Wow. So he's asking,
he's like James Lipton.
Is acting really fully you, or do you put on something, is his question. I don't understand that.
We think that's his question.
He must be rushed for time for this one.
Now, Jonathan, let me ask you a question. Project X, if you could sum it up in less than 5 words for people who have no idea what the movie's about. What can you say?
Come on, Jonathan. Why put a limit?
Is it a game show?
Why limit him only to 5 minutes?
Five words or less.
Took him 40 just to ask the question.
Unbelievable.
Project X is a movie.
So then he runs into Kid Cudi.
Oh, right. I am here with the one, the only Kid Cudi and Dr. Genius. I got to start off by saying,
now, Kid Cudi, he knows, and his music is very, very important to Muggs.
Okay. Man on the Moon is one of my favorite albums. I'm not bullshitting you. I'm not blowing smoke up your Every time I'm in, like, a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on. Everything goes out the window.
I don't know what any of that means.
Sure. That's what you want when you're feeling good. You want that feeling to go right out the window.
So he's got Kid Cudi in front of him, who's a musician, and that, of course, brings up.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Why do you have to tell everyone that?
Because they're musicians and so am I. I want to bond.
But you're not really.
I want to bond on the same level.
You know what, you know what you are? You're a guy who pushes buttons at a radio station. You're not a drummer.
Do you play for a band?
No.
You're not a drummer.
But I like to jam out. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer. Okay?
Really?
I love beats.
I love beats. He does. In his defense, he loves beats. That's true. Okay, so now the director is standing in front of him, and I don't remember the guy's name. I apologize.
Nima.
Okay. I forgot his last name.
So Beer Mug, for some reason, needs to feel the need to spend an entire time talking about himself and not asking any questions.
Oh, man. Nima Nirzada, the director of Project X, man. I'm sitting here talking to you, and I can't believe it because this movie looks pretty outrageous. What? I mean, it looks insane. I've been to a lot of high school parties when I was in high school.
Let's talk about me and the parties that I went to, because mine were outrageous.
I was so popular because I was a drummer.
Now, you imagine he's going to come with a pretty good story, right?
Yes.
Because this movie is mayhem and fire
right.
And
explosions.
So this better be a pretty good story that he's telling the director.
In college. And the worst thing that ever happened at my house was there was a cigarette burn in my mom's couch, and she got mad at me. That was it.
Did he snap up the film rights to that story right away after you told it for the sequel?
Right there.
Project X 2, The Burn.
Now again. Again, I don't know why Beer Mugs has to tell people that he doesn't know them. Because in the interview setting, many times you don't know the person.
Right.
You're meeting him for the first time.
Part of your job is to pretend.
Now, this girl was on Friday Night Lights. Bean, I don't remember her name, but...
Amy Teagarden is the actress.
So, Muggs is talking to her, and he wants her to know that he's not a poser and that he never watched Friday Night Lights. He has to tell her this.
Way to ingratiate yourself.
Why? I don't know.
But there's a movie in the works.
Oh!
Fans can look forward to that.
Very nice. I have, honestly, and I don't want to hurt your feelings in any way, but I still, I'm not a liar, and I don't want to be fake, but I've never seen Friday Night Lights.
Okay, now,
what does that get you? What does that earn you in an interview?
I just don't want to be fake to the person.
But you don't...
It's not a date. You know, you're not trying to bare your soul. Your job is to get information out of people. What do you gain by telling them you haven't seen their biggest project?
And by the way, Friday Night Lights canceled. It's already...
Right, she's licking those wounds
already.
In the
rear view mirror. Yeah. So it's already not like, passed.
It's not like she's there promoting it and you're going to help spread the word.
Wait a minute.
It's over. She was on it for 5 years. It's now over.
So why tell her after it's been canceled that you never watched it?
Well,
he's leading up for a question.
Her publicist.
Hold that thought. He's leading up to a question.
Okay.
Wait till you hear the question.
But there's a movie in the works.
Oh.
Fans can look forward to that.
Very nice. I have, honestly, and I don't want to hurt your feelings in any way, but I'm not a liar and I don't want to be fake, but I've never seen Friday Night Lights. So for a person who's never seen Friday Night Lights, maybe give me a little brief synopsis.
Wrap
up the five seasons for me.
In less than five words. Really? You wanted to give you a synopsis of the whole 5 years of that series?
As brief as she could.
But why? It's been canceled.
What is that information useful
nobody
for?
Nobody can now
Who
know.
Does that help?
Fans of the show.
No, it doesn't. They're fans of the show know what the show's about. They watched it. Who does that help?
People who want to see it on Netflix that have never seen it before.
No, they'll go watch it. If they want to see it on Netflix, they will watch it and learn what it's all about. Who does your question help?
No one.
That's right. No.
It's no fun for her.
No.
It doesn't help you. It doesn't help us, the listener.
No.
No
one wins.
He finally gets to an actual question about Project X. And this is it.
What kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away?
Those are the best surprises, the ones that they talk about ahead of time.
The things that are surprises that you want to surprise people with, what are they?
Things you worked hard to craft and no one would expect them in the film, what are they?
Look, guys, I try, okay?
Man, do you
try. You succeed, my friend.
Is there no end to how many things you have to give away these days, Ralph?
No, I'm like Santa. I'm Radio Santa.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Radio
Are you bribing
Santa.
People
All
now?
All I am is Radio Santa.
What do you have for us this hour in the show?
How about tickets to see Guns N' Roses?
Yay!
You get a choice. You can see them at the Palladium on March the 6th or the Wiltern on March 11th. You choose. You got to choose. Make sure you choose.
Do they get a choice?
Tickets are on sale now if you don't win. But if you'd like to go on us, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Caller number 20. Caller number 20. We'll keep it simple. If you're the 20th caller, you will get your choice of tickets between March 9th at the Palladium or March 11th at the Wiltern.
So please call right now and you make your choice. You will get some tickets. If I don't lose my voice.
Nice.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see Slash again. That's going to be so much fun.
OG Roses.
And Izzy. Oh, wait. None of them are going to be there.
No, that's right. Yeah. But still.
I will still be there.
That's right.
Set aside the whole night. I have no idea when I'll show up. In fact, I just not might.
Nah, might not. That would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been better. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about show business news. Congratulations to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's got another movie project in the pipeline. Brett Ratner has chosen him to play Hercules in the upcoming reboot of that famous film franchise. Hercules! Remember Hercules?
Not really.
I don't.
He was tasked by the gods to perform 10 Herculean tasks. That's where the phrase comes from. Okay. 10 almost impossible tasks, and he uses his incredible strength to accomplish them. I believe it was 10 tasks. Might have been 12. But it was a bunch of tasks. And he had to complete them or else bad things would happen. Now, I don't know if that's the plot line of the new Hercules movie, but it was one of my favorite myths growing up. And I think Rock's a good choice. You know, Schwarzenegger famously played Hercules.
Did he?
It was his first film, I think.
I did not know that.
Hercules in Manhattan, I think it was called, where he somehow time travels from ancient Greece and lands up in New York City.
That must have been terrible.
Yeah. He was billed as Arnold Strong because they didn't think anyone would ever go for an actor named Arnold Schwarzenegger. So they changed his name to Arnold Strong, and they completely dubbed in his performance with another actor.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm. If you ever get a chance to see Hercules in Manhattan, do not miss it. It's entertaining beyond all control. By the way, Rock's doing very well for himself. Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, is already doing better at the box office than the original film, which starred Brendan Fraser. And he's got two more pictures already backed up over the airport. Pain and Gain, he'll play a law-breaking bodybuilder. And G.I. Joe Retaliation, he's also in that as well. So A lot of stuff going on for The Rock.
I've never seen any of his movies, obviously. But I'm such a fan of his. I just like him so much.
He's such a great guy. He loses me once he crosses over into the Family Fair.
Tooth Fairy.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who love the Tooth Fairy, I do want to mention it is Tuesday. It means new DVDs are in stores today. Tooth Fairy 2, the sequel.
Nope.
Is out today. If you want to pick that up, Rock has nothing to do with it, but Larry the Cable Guy's in it.
Just as good.
So, that makes it so much better.
You got that to look forward to.
That's almost worth buying.
If you want to check it out. Jack and Jill, starring Adam Sandler, also available today on DVD. Footloose, the sequel, with Julianne Hough and Kenny Wormald. That's the movie that made Kenny Wormald a household name.
Sure.
And Immortals, with Henry Cavill, also available today. Check out all those new DVDs. Why don't you? Sad news, Robert Sherman of the songwriting team, the Sherman Brothers, has passed away at 86 years old. He and his brother came up with some of the most famous Disney tunes of all time. Mary Poppins. They won an Oscar. I think two Oscars, actually, for Mary Poppins. Jungle Book was all them. They stepped out on their own, did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which has some great music in it as well. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Winnie the Pooh, the Winnie the Pooh theme song. They wrote that.
Quite a career.
They wrote a lot of music for the theme park as well. They were still under the employ of Walt when he put Disneyland together. And they came up with a little tune. Perhaps you're familiar with it. It's called A Small World. It's a small world after all.
That song will be in my head for a week now.
Get me off of this boat!
How is it so damn catchy?
All their songs were.
We should stop playing it.
We put on Mary Poppins for the kid the other day. She's just about two, so she's a little young for that, but we wanted to see what her reaction was. And she loves the music, the singing and dancing parts. Man, she was fascinated by that. So they did a lot of great work. His brother, Richard, still lives here locally in Los Angeles, but they were estranged. By the end of their relationship, as they were working together, they didn't even talk.
Really?
They'd go into the office, they'd work together, and then they'd leave and not talk. And then once they stopped working together, they almost spoke again after that fact.
It's kind of like us.
There's a great documentary called The Boys about their partnership and life together. And the end of The Boys is them coming back together on the red carpet of the premiere of the Broadway musical version of Mary Poppins.
Right.
And the whole thing culminates. So the first time they're going to see each other in years and years. And the sons, the cousins, bring them together. And they're on the red carpet. And one goes, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Good. How you been?" He said, "Good." Boom. And then they go separate ways. And that's the last conversation they ever have.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of sad.
Wow.
But a fascinating documentary. Again, it's called The Boys, if you want to check it out. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 66 years old today. Actor-director Rob Reiner is 65. Tom Arnold, 53 years old. D.L. Hughley of The Hughleys, of course, and his own show, Late at Night, 48 years old. Connie Britton, Friday Night Lights, American Horror Story. 45 years old. Moira Kelly is 44. Shaq celebrates his 40th birthday. Rapper Bubba Sparks turns 35. And Chris Thompson of Vampire Weekend is 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Hey, you mentioned Friday Night Lights. Muggs, I don't remember. What happened in that show? Could you recap the five seasons for me in under five words?
I don't know. It's dumb. I
have to be honest.
Yeah. So there.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I didn't watch it.
So for those listening, could you tell us everything that happened in 5 years of that program? Go.
Tomorrow morning we have Adam Carolla. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but The Ultimate Fighter is coming to FX. It's on Friday nights, and they're going to start live. They're going to have the fights live on Friday nights on FX. And one of the coaches is Uriah Faber.
Wow.
California kid. We've got him on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We've got William Shatner on tomorrow morning's show.
I will be on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We have...
Horses!
Would you like to take that back?
Nope.
Wow. Is this the first one for 2012? I think it might be.
I think it is, and it's been too long because we have about 15 of them.
Yeah, we kept asking, do we have enough? Do we have enough? Not yet. Now we got a glut.
Yeah, we got plenty.
A metric glut.
We'll start taking them back tomorrow, and we've got your tickets for April Foolishness. So tune in tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and B.